This is PFW in Progress.
Gentlemen, you are the top 1%.
The elite. Best of the best. We'll make it better.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our commanding officer at Top Gun. The very first man to win the Top Gun trophy. You will not find a finer fighter pilot anywhere in the world.
Paul Perillo.
I will fire when I am good and ready. You got that?
And Andy. And Andy?
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Andy Hart.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right.
I am dangerous.
Eric Scalavino.
I want somebody's butt. I want it now. I'm at it.
For now, anyway.
Heck, twice. I want some butt.
Mike Parenti.
It's your attitude. The enemy's dangerous. But right now, you're worse than the enemy. You're dangerous and foolish. You may not like the guys flying with you. They may not like you. Whose side are you on?
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
He is 100% prime time in love with you.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for. You are America's best. Make us proud.
All right. Welcome to
Progress. Now my mic is on. What's going on here?
I couldn't hear
you. Is that two-gender back there?
That wasn't me.
That one wasn't Fred's fault. His light was on.
All right, welcome to...
But no one was home.
Welcome to the show. Everybody's here except Eric. Where's Eric?
I don't know where Eric is.
He was chatting with some older gentleman in the locker room.
I have no formal artistic training.
I'll be doing it from 1 to 3 instead of 12 to 3.
On Thursday,
I do the 3 hours.
I didn't think he did it on Thursday.
Thursday, I thought it was all hands on deck.
I thought it was Tuesday that he did it and Wednesday that you did it.
No, it's Wednesday and Thursday.
Anyway.
He just makes up his own rules.
I think you just don't know the schedule, Paul.
Thursdays have become a big show because it's the Qdoba question of the weekday. And also, it's Picks Day.
Who here?
So everybody's here.
No, but all the moochers are out there waiting for the food to arrive.
It's unbelievable. There's a line around the corner.
It's ridiculous.
Who's here?
You say free food. Lori Baranski comes down.
Lori Baranski.
Casual Kyle.
Wilson.
Casual Kyle.
Casual Kyle. Are we just all jeans all the time now? Is that the new dress code?
That's not
the dress code.
Because it is for Kyle. Kyle's had jeans on all week.
Can I wear my Under Armour tomorrow?
And his ugly-ass sneakers with 17 different colors.
Can I wear my spandex pants tomorrow? Casual Friday. Yeah.
Please don't.
Well, with the economy and everything, we might go to uniforms, just so that it's
Patriots uniforms
easier on people's budgets. So,
can we? What's the chances of me?
Can we use the throwbacks then? Because I like those better.
What are the chances of me scoring some shoulder pads in my Halloween costume?
None.
I'm going as Tom Brady. I changed my mind.
Is that right?
No, I haven't.
So you don't need a jersey. Anyway. You need a wheelchair and crutches.
Yeah, I'm going to put a cast on. And crutches.
I probably could ask Broch at this.
Yeah, Brian Morey might have a. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't have the balls to ask. I've only been here for like 2 months. I'm not asking for.
Ask Brian Morey. I'm sure he has some in part of the museum.
Ask Brian. Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get like what like
that way.
The cry won't work right if Brian gives them to
that
you.
That way you'll have to talk to him.
Yeah, I'm going
to
get like Y.A. Tittle's shoulder pads from like 1930 and a leather helmet.
Because if there was a kind of, I don't know.
All right, what do we got today, guys?
Matt Castle spoke.
Matt Castle. What did Matt Castle have to
Matt
say?
Matt Castle is very confident.
Yes. Good.
Yes. He says, I obviously I'm doing my job unless I'm told otherwise. In other words, I'm the quarterback until someone tells me to sit down.
Matt Castle is the quarterback.
I'm just happy to be
also,
here.
They asked him if it feels better to have the validation from your coaches. Well, I think I've had the validation since the start of the season. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And then he went on to say, you know, we're 3-2. We're a game back from Buffalo. I think a lot of teams like to be where we are. We're not 0-5, I can tell you that. That's what he said.
Titans wouldn't want to be.
Defending himself a little bit. Yeah, neither the Giants. They're 4-1.
All that talk worries me.
Well, you know.
What happened last week, last year,
last month
doesn't matter.
I agree, because that's not usually their M.O. They don't usually fall back on what their record is.
They did this a couple years ago, and Bill said there's a lot of team that would like to have 10 wins or wherever they were at the point.
10-8 is impossible.
I don't really. I don't really like that talk out of this team.
No, I don't like it either. I think it's very uncharacteristic.
I agree 100% with both of you. But I do think this is different. It's a different time, and I think that you have to kind of manage yourself a little bit differently. But
well, then it's like an admission of some sort.
Yeah,
it's like admitting
it's
that we're not
anywhere near as good.
Well, I mean, that's what we're
3-2 is as
you
much as we can do.
You should talk like you're still on top of the world.
That's what we're interpreting.
No, that's really the impression they give. It's pretty clear to Andy, too.
Yeah. No, I definitely sense, and we talked about this yesterday, a little bit of a –
a loser mentality. I don't want to take shots, but we've seen other teams do and say things like this over the years, and we said they weren't ready. They kind of had a loser mentality.
And we made fun of them for saying that.
Okay. And now I have Bill Belichick telling me that San Diego's got a pretty good offensive line, and if you're trying to stop the run, how are you going to rush the pass?
Hey, like, okay. What should we be talking about?
What should we say then?
That there's problems and we need to fix them.
Well, he said that they were outplayed in all three phases of the game.
Yeah, he says that every week. But he said that when they were winning games.
He does say that.
Yeah, but what are you looking for?
I agree he says that every week.
Him to not say that stuff. I don't even need an alternative.
He's always said that stuff.
No, not really.
No, I'm talking about the stuff that's borderline excuse making. He hasn't always said that.
Yeah, we couldn't rush the passer because we were too focused on stopping LT.
I don't like that.
I don't
just say it has to be better. You're right.
I don't see
the pass rush is not
going
to be
I don't think there's much difference between now and what he's always said.
The only thing that was the same was the fact that he still believes sacks are overrated. That's fine.
Right.
He's always said that.
Right. Yes, he's always said that. But to say, well, we couldn't stop those 50-yard bombs because we were too focused on stopping LT. Well, after the fourth or fifth bomb, you should have realized they're throwing deep. LT's not a factor in this game.
Well,
we have to stop the pass.
He didn't say that. He didn't say that.
That's what he said. He says we took away the run and that was it.
No, but we didn't say that.
We couldn't rush the passer because we were trying to stop the run.
He was relating the stopping LT to rushing the passer. He didn't relate that. That's why we gave
up.
But that shows a lack of making an adjustment.
He said several times that we had a hard time taking away the big plays, and that's what ultimately hurt us. He thought we were competitive. The part that I thought was. The stuff that Andy and Mike are talking about that I thought was a little out of character was him accentuating what they did well in terms of, well, I thought we were competitive in the run game. I thought we were competitive on the shorter and intermediate routes. And obviously we struggled with the deep passing game. To me, in the past, it would have been a lot of focus on the deep passing game.
Or how about it wasn't as bad as it looked on the film? Or live, rather. It wasn't that bad after in the aftermath? Of course it was. It was awful. That game sucked.
I think
I understand what both Mike and Andy are saying. Keep talking like you always talk like a champion, but I think that I don't think that they are champions right now.
But Belichick has never talked like they're champions.
What'd you say, paper champion?
He is always.
We've always made fun of him because of saying.
He's always focusing on the negative. He's always talking about getting better. Dominant, he'd scoff at you if someone says, you know, you guys have been dominant. Dominant?
Right.
Well.
We're just trying to stay in the game.
We gave up 8 out of 11 on third down.
Just trying to make
the
center
to
quarterback change.
You know, he'd focus on every stat that he could find. That some even last year, 16-0, 580 whatever points.
You have to
find all the negative stats. But I think it's different. You don't have that team anymore.
I understand, but he's adjusting his game plan.
That's our buffet
spread. When he's being focusing on the negative, it's when everything is positive.
I agree with you, Fred.
So he's no different than he ever was. Everything's negative now, so he's
going to
focus on the positive.
Okay.
You know, he's not going to buy into and go along with what the media wants him to do. You know, when things are great, he's not going to be saying, hey, you know, we are great.
I don't know who wants him to do anything.
I'm not asking for anything.
He's not going to say when things are great, we are great.
No.
You know, and when things are bad, he's not going to reinforce to his players things are bad, and he's not going to.
I guess the point.
And he's not going to reinforce to his players that they're great.
So why say they're bad when they're good?
Because
that doesn't help either.
Because
he's trying
always
to keep them humble.
He's always middle
humble pie. Mike.
He's always trying to keep it even.
Targeting something.
Never too high, never too low. He's always going to try to keep it in the middle. So in that respect, he has not changed. The situation has changed.
I guess.
He has not changed.
That's the point that I think that I was talking with Andy yesterday morning is this reminds me of the other times, the very few times, that they haven't been as good as they normally are. 2002 comes to mind when these are the kinds of comments that he made. And to me, it's telling me when he's talking like that he's really trying hard to accentuate positives to pump his team up because I think
keep it in the middle.
But I think down deep he knows.
But
right,
he doesn't.
Of course he
horses.
Does. He's not stupid.
But I think the players are the same way.
They know,
they
too.
Know too.
I think we've given them a lot of credit for being veteran players that don't
right.
necessarily need
right.
to be coddled or ripped down either way. They're smart. They're even keeled.
But the things he says in those press conferences are what gets written in red. By everyone, okay? So, again, he's always going to play it down the middle. Never too good, we're never too good, and we're never that bad.
I just think as a player, if he's legitimately coming to a meeting and saying, well, we did this well, I say.
Oh, you know he's not doing that. Come on.
I don't know that.
Oh, come on.
I don't know what he's doing.
I know for a fact when they were doing everything great, he was telling them they sucked.
Well, you know he's ripping them.
So if he's staying even keeled and doing the exact same thing.
There are some players that deserve it.
Exactly.
Mike, I think you hit it on the head. There are certain players that he's ripping new ones to. There's other players he's probably trying to, you know, keep them up. And, you know, so I you know, the situation has changed. I don't think he's changed in how he's approaching his team.
No, I don't think he's changing either.
Yeah.
If I can change.
You can change.
Is that another Rocky quote?
Yeah.
What'd you say, paper champion?
Have you never seen any of the Rockies? Like
I've seen probably maybe once each, so really? I don't know the script by heart.
They're always on.
Well, addiction?
I don't watch it.
That's quite unfortunate, Fred.
Yeah, it is.
You really should watch at least the first three multiple times.
Multiple times?
No, watch them all. Don't listen to Paul.
Watch them all. They're all good.
All six. They're
all
great.
Good in their own way. They're
and
like
you
children.
Should see, you probably haven't seen the last one, Balboa.
No.
That's actually a very good movie.
You should really see that. It's good closure.
Different.
They got screwed out of the Best Picture Award, but it was a, you know, I think the fans appreciated it in the end.
I agree with Mike on this one. I don't agree with him on anything else, but I agree with him on that.
No, we don't agree on anything today, the last 3 days, actually.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Webradio 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Gary's playing the music to remind me that today is the Qdoba question of the day, week. And
every time he says it, it makes me laugh.
And so at 1:10, call in. At 508-543.
Let Andy talk about it from that one.
508-543-7482, and we'll give you the question. First person who answers it right gets a 20-person buffet that you can pick up at any participating Massachusetts Qdoba restaurant. They're now open at Patriot Place.
Yes.
Open for business.
Stop in. Starting today or yesterday?
Doesn't matter.
Today
they're
open.
Open. They're open.
Actually? And everyone who is listening live just clicked off till 105.
Why?
Because you said when the question's going to be.
Well,
they
don't want to listen to the rest of the show?
Probably not.
Why?
Well, we told them yesterday what time it was going to be.
You tell them on Wednesday.
Because people come
Thursday
for free food.
Listen, that's,
you want
that's,
proof of that? Look out at the line
that
that's formed at the buffet.
That was just flat out mean, though.
Oh, the food's out there
yeah,
now?
Yeah, so no one cares about this except for burritos and tacos?
Pretty much.
Wow.
There are some.
Wow. I chalk that up to the production then. I mean, what else can I tell you? You know.
Quick news update.
Oh. What's he saying again?
No,
moron host.
That was mean too.
Very thin skin. Very thin skin.
Very
his,
ugly side.
You know why? Because his guy last night was had his slippers on in the front lawn saying, "Get off my lawn."
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, he was awful.
First
he was
of all,
very
we,
good.
We've all, we've
he was
all,
very good?
Fred, very good.
Oh, come Fred, on.
Listen. Listen.
Should
we've
I tell
all
you
guys
are
wish, it's wishful thinking
no,
on your part.
We've all conceded. We've all conceded to you that your guy's going to win.
Okay? Yes.
But don't sit here and tell me last night that he was unimpressive. If he had done that in the first debate, we might be having a different conversation right now.
He waited
too long to get aggressive. That's what his problem
is. So that's all
then
you're looking for is aggressive.
Down the
that did it for you?
I thought he
well,
exposed
everybody
your
seems
boy.
To
not what he said.
Plastic man that he is.
Well, if you're looking for what he said, then you shouldn't be going for Obama because he has said
nothing
in 8 months.
Okay.
If he's a prepackaged face, and he's very good at that. You have to give him credit
and
for that.
And he said nothing.
Present.
Exactly. Obama hasn't yet to say anything,
nothing.
Ever.
So he's been through 2 years
of
this process.
I would cut programs that
present.
Aren't useful, and I would keep programs that are useful.
You know, that's,
oh, good.
That's a
good genius.
One.
You're a giant. And
why
so
that
make
a,
you president?
That's a good one. They say he's voted president 130 times.
The players who travel would play, and the players who don't travel won't play.
Yes or no?
How many?
Over 900.
So that's a good
Fred,
proportion.
Yeah. A lot of guys, a lot have
Fred,
voted president.
Sound very good to
you
me.
You get PBS because there's a very
of
good frontline.
I don't watch
special.
It. But
very good frontline special where people from Obama's own campaign admitted that between 2004 and 2006, he made a calculated effort for two full years to not vote on anything controversial because he was looking down the road and knew it would come back to bite him when he wanted to run for president. 2007, he changed his tactic and decided he was going to vote with any Democrat that had an issue that he needed help with because he was trying to drum up friends. That's a fact.
He sounds like an evil guy. I don't know. We're screwed.
No, he sounds like a guy who wants to be president and just not do anything.
Oh, boy.
I don't agree with your first statement, but I agree with your second statement.
So,
we are screwed.
So McCain's not ambitious either.
He is ambitious.
How many times has he run for president?
A number of times.
Right.
How many times has he voted? You want to bring up 1,000? Yeah. I'm sure McCain has voted 50,000
times. And you want to know how many times in his career he's voted president? Probably more than 130.
Probably. But did he do it because he didn't have a vote? Or did he do it because
I don't know.
Someone told him, do it for two years because you'll want to be president in four?
I don't think John McCain had his eye on the presidency any less or more than and then Barack Obama.
You know who Barack Obama is? Kimbo Slice. Okay. A nice packaged figure who, when it came down to a fight, boop, wilted.
Oh, he wilted last night.
That 2 minutes of political talk was over. Let's go back to the Patriots. We've all conceded.
Can I do my news update now?
We've all conceded to you that he's going to win. So you can end.
We're going
to
lay more.
I just hope that when he does, you guys aren't going to be, you know, those types of people. Oh, he sucks. Everything he does sucks.
No, I
won't. You actually open your ears and listen. And listen,
I'm not going to listen because I'm going to watch.
Because anyone that says over the last 2 years he said nothing isn't listening.
See, I do listen, and every time he talks, he says nothing.
It'll be a lot better for me actually when he's here, and I'm living in a.
I don't see how somebody goes through a 2 year process of
having
a microscope up his ass and gets through it by saying
the same speech 1,000 times. They showed that on Frontline too, where they just cut it up and it was the exact same speech word for word every single time.
Wait a minute now.
I knew something worked, so I stuck with it.
Oh, and the Republicans don't do that.
Why is it? That's what everybody does.
Do at these rallies. You repeat the same theme over and over again.
But you're telling me he has said endless things, and I'm telling you I haven't heard anything.
As far as policy, yes.
I've heard him say, I'll cut the programs that aren't working and won't cut the ones that are.
A Brady Bledsoe debate.
Right.
Like, oh, but your guy's worse.
But yes, they do say the same things over. That's their themes. They repeat those over and over again. But if you listen to when they outline their policy.
How did I get stuck in here?
When you listen to when they outline their policy, they both say things. They both say things.
Usually I'm the first one in line for food. Can I bring my news update and get off of politics?
Go ahead.
Lawrence Maroney was in the New England locker room today.
Oh.
Lawrence, who, of course, did not practice yesterday.
Is that good or bad?
He walked through. Karen tried to grab him. He just kind of smiled. She asked if he felt better. He turned and smiled again, walked away and smiled. It looked like the same Lawrence Maroney, who's always smiling, but you never really know what it's covering or what it means based on the last.
So he didn't stop and talk.
He did not stop. Went right into the trainer room.
He didn't.
Okay. Yeah.
But he was there.
That's
it
good.
It was a very, very light.
It's better than not being there.
Very light Thursday, by the way, Fred, which is kind of interesting.
Gary says you want to eat.
Not quite ready yet.
It's not quite ready, so we'll keep talking, G.
Yeah, we'll just keep talking.
Although I'm sure all the
vultures are going to finish it off before you get.
Yeah, the mooches have been like tearing things apart to get to the food.
There's a man on TV tying an old lady to a park bench.
That's the pigeon lady.
Oh, okay.
She feeds the pigeons, and people are all over. Don't want to do it.
All right, so Maroney, Castle talked.
Castle
very confident.
He's confident. Why wouldn't he be?
Anything specifically asked about the game? You know that just they just played to him.
I don't know, Mike. Was in it?
Yeah, Mike was the PFW representative in that scrum.
I was working Pat's Inc. 2008.
Anyone else talk today?
Not really.
Weren't a lot of people.
Sammy Morris talked again, but he talked yesterday. Yesterday, the theme, by the way, from the running backs, at least from both Bill and the running backs, was they need to hit more big plays.
I think it's going to be a big week for the running game. By the way, Fred, this team struggles against the run badly.
As Bill told us, they do everything well. They stink at defense.
Okay. I think this could be a breakout week for the running game. 200 yards.
200?
Total,
really?
Total.
All the guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freddie, wow. I got a surprise for you.
What? You're quitting?
No.
Oh.
You don't have to seem disappointed.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday,
I
will see you at the Hall at Patriot Place.
A
week from Tuesday.
Why is that?
Because Gary wants to do a live show from the Hall at Patriot Place a week from Tuesday.
Really?
It's going to be an exciting show because I'm going to be.
Did you clear that with the executive director?
Yeah, you. We're doing a show.
No, it's Brian Maury.
No, I mean the real one.
No, this isn't like Barack Obama. We're actually this is the real one. That's you.
I.
But yeah,
and
I'm
going to. At the very least, we'll have Andy walking around the hall on a cell.
I'm going to have a wireless mic, and I'm going to go from station to station, and we'll give some verbal updates on how things are going and what I think of things.
Can you just imagine what he's going to do?
This is dangerous.
We had to cheese it for a while because Mr. Kraft started walking through the locker room.
I'll be all positive. As long as everything works okay, I'll be very happy.
And if one thing doesn't, the whole museum stinks.
That's not accurate.
That's the way you roll. That's the way you roll.
That is not true.
I'm
like Bill Belichick. If a lot of things are going bad, I seek out the positives.
I bet you do. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Fred,
no Belichick today.
I've come to a conclusion, Fred. I talked to Andy about this today. Would you agree that there has been an excessive amount of displeasure with Castle this week? I mean, obviously, he played badly Sunday night.
From the fans.
The team looked bad.
The last two losses. He got killed after the Miami game, but I think that's turning.
But not like he did on this one.
I think it was pretty close. A guy wanted to hang it.
I think it's turning a little bit. I think early in the week, it was all Castle, but now I think people have, you know, they have time to think about it, and they realize that Castle is the least of our problems right now.
I don't think they've realized that yet.
I don't think they've realized that yet. I was surprised because I thought by today it would be turning, but there's been very little turns.
Really?
So far. It's like 75, just really, really
CNN
vicious.
Harris poll?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Check
really
your inbox.
Emails.
Really?
It's really embarrassing,
and a lot
actually.
Of them, you know,
it doesn't really endear themselves all
to
too
the
well.
To the point now they're starting to
week.
Make stuff up, too. They're saying all the three and outs and all the time that they spend on the field, the defense shouldn't be faulted. They haven't had a lot of three and outs. Time of possession hasn't been a problem.
They dominated the time of possession in San Fran.
40 minutes in San Francisco. The time of possession hasn't been a huge problem.
Right.
Now, they're not scoring points. That's
right.
a huge problem.
Right.
The red zone offense, that's a huge problem.
Right.
But defense has been fairly culpable in this as well. But I think that the venom, I think, comes from everybody was so convinced that how great this team was
yep.
and how great everything was that now that they're struggling, I mean, they're 3-2. They're not 0-5, like Andy said earlier. They're not 0-5. They're 3-2, and people are saying, wow, it's got to be Castle. Because
see,
we know how great the team is.
See, to me,
so
that,
it couldn't be any other
to
element
me, that
of the
makes
team.
No sense. I think if they were smart and they did, like you said, agree or think that the team was that great, I think they
well,
would be pointing the fingers
the games,
at those people that they thought were great rather than Castle.
They gave up 68 points and two losses. How the hell is that Matt Castle's fault?
We're getting killed. Andy, Mike, and I, and Eric are getting killed because we keep on AskPFW not blindly defending Castle. We're saying, look, he's struggling in the red zone. He's not putting a lot of points on the board, but there are other things that are wrong.
He does his stop, drop, and fall technique.
Right. I mean,
I've pointed out all his flaws this week. To call me a Castle defender would be inaccurate.
They're killing us. They're killing us.
Really?
For defending
Ted Sarandis is here. They're killing us.
They're killing me with these turnovers.
3-2.
But no, you're right. We're getting slaughtered because
so they just think that you're just kind of protecting. You're protecting.
We've
Castle.
Turned into like
well, they
house
think because
organ.
We work for Patriots Football League,
right.
We were just blindly defending Castle.
But we've criticized all
the
other areas. The so how can we
right,
be a house
right.
organ if we're criticizing the pass
we're
rush,
less
criticizing
and less
the secondary?
Lately. Pretty sure the coaching
maybe
staff
it's because
house organ
they,
yet.
No. Maybe the assumption is if you criticize Castle, what you're really doing is criticizing how this team has made decisions in for that position over the last 4 years.
But I think to admit that maybe the team wasn't as good as we thought and
right.
that Brady had a lot more to do with the success than we thought
right.
is to admit that you're wrong.
Right. I think that was clear last year. I think without question the offense carried the defense and the defense was not as good as people thought it was.
Paul's been saying it for a year
as good
now.
As it was statistically. And I agreed with Paul all last year.
Yeah.
Every day you were on the
so
big show
I.
last year and you had to deal with that
and I got the
nonsense.
Crap kicked out of me every
you were right
day.
All the time.
It
was nonsense.
I
almost drove off the road several times.
I agreed.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, you know, okay, they don't have Asante Samuel.
But,
you know,
but it
does he make that much of a difference?
No.
It should be a lot better than it is. Then they
regardless of who's out there.
Like I said yesterday, I didn't think it would be this bad. I thought that they weren't as good as they looked statistically, but I didn't think it was.
The front seven was supposed to be better this year.
Right.
And it was supposed to protect the secondary.
We all,
it's not doing it.
That's what we all said, that the front seven's going to make up for the secondary's deficiencies. That's, you know, yes, Samuel's good, but, you know, they're going to plug in whoever it was at the time, you know, Wheatley or the guy that they got rid of, Fernando Bryant.
But if you were one of those guys all offseason that said it doesn't matter about that because those guys are good enough and now it's falling apart, you have to say it's Castle's fault. Because you said all
right.
along the defense
then
was fine.
You're changing your argument.
Right.
And the team is great. It's the best team that's ever played in the NFL.
Right.
Well, now I think what we're finding out is this is a very good football team that had a great transcendental quarterback.
Yeah.
I like jumping in mid-argument.
Transcendental.
I mean, one of the best.
Stepping out for 20 minutes, coming back in.
Transcendental.
I don't think that's
what the way you would want to
use
it.
I think it's the same.
Yeah. Transcendentalism.
Stands out above the rest.
We need Eric for that.
It's a literary term.
My bad if I used it incorrectly.
No, I believe you were right.
That is a pet peeve of mine because the players do it a lot when they use big words and they don't know what they mean.
Yes, I pack a wallet.
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk about. Defending Castle, not defending Castle, admitting what this team is.
Qdoba.
Or defending what you think the team will be, which is kind of where I fall. But anyway, we'll be right back.
The guys told Andy there was no free food today.
And you guys sure are going a long way to try and scare me. I want my Southwest steak.
Luckily, Lori came to the rescue.
You want some cheesy poops?
Yeah, I want cheesy poops.
Patriots.com Radio.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The Super League championship in the history books. The Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor 12 and
pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Lunchtime for the boys. Let's listen in. Looks like it's Mexican today.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that? Everything. Do tacos get any more kick butt than this?
But with these guys, you have to kick it up a notch.
Oh, they're about to, all right. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
And what do you think of that?
Awesome! And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
Andy's head might be big, but what does he think of that?
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, gruyere, sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Paul, what's on your mind?
Can I eat it now?
Sure, but not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Fred? Frank? Jake Steele? How's that sound?
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one. The new Pizza Crepe Taco Pancake Chili Bag.
It's what's for lunch. Or you can just send pizza and wings and a turkey sub.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. That's not exactly how the Qdoba tacos are made, but we are here with And why don't you introduce yourself?
Jeff Ackerman.
Jeff, you are in charge of all the Qdobas, or what?
I'm the owner of all the Qdobas here in Massachusetts, you bet.
Okay, so Jeff owns all the Qdobas in Mass, and you just opened up here at Patriot Place yesterday.
We did, yesterday at Patriot Place, and also Monday at Kenmore Square, so it's been a very busy
week.
Oh,
That's great. So you're really infiltrating the Boston market now.
We're trying to, you bet. That's our 18th location, actually, at Patriot Place.
Well, we love Qdoba, as you can see from the line that was outside here. I felt very important, Paul. I went outside.
They all waited for
these people waited for us to get off the air before they ate.
That was unnecessary, but that's nice.
They were drooling in anticipation, I think.
So Jeff, how'd you get in the business? Are you like a franchise owner?
Yes, yeah. We acquired the franchise rights. The concept originally is from Colorado, from Denver.
And, right. We'll talk about that in a second.
Exactly. Yeah. And I knew it worked very well out there. Great Mexican food. I always felt we had a lack of it here in Massachusetts, and wanted to bring that out here.
So I know you've only been open a day at Patriot Place, but how is it going?
Off to a great start. It was a relatively quiet day yesterday, but we're looking forward to the weekend activities, obviously, and the game coming up on Monday, and we're looking forward to kicking things off. Patriot Place development is just an incredible place, and looks great, and I think it's going to be a winner for everybody.
It's really cool, and they're starting to have free concerts there, and they'll bring people in there with the Hall of Patriot Place, so you're going to do great there. Even in this down economy, you're gonna do fine, because your menu is it's not that other place that serves tacos. It's a step up from that, but it's not that expensive where you can't just take the whole family and get a meal for a reasonable price.
It's exactly right. You can get a great meal there for yourself for around $8, and it's incredible value, incredible, a lot of food. All the food is made fresh daily in the restaurant. It's not a fast food place, but yet it has a lot of virtues of fast food where you're in and out. Food is made in front of you. It's assembled. You customize the way you want it.
Yeah.
Really is a good good place to be right now in this market, actually.
You even make your own cookies.
We do bake our own fresh cookies. Not exactly Mexican, but everybody loves a good chocolate.
You got to have something sweet after all that spice, right?
Exactly.
Hey, no, that's great. So now, you're from Colorado? Are you from Colorado?
Denver.
You're from Denver. So
you have a lot in common with Jeff.
Are you going to the game Monday night?
I'll be at the game, absolutely.
Uh-oh. Are you going to wear your Denver stuff?
I don't want your listeners to turn off Qdoba as a result, but I'm a pretty diehard Bronco fan throughout the years.
Now, do you have a skin-tight John Elway shirt like Fred does?
And my brother has one of those back when he was 8 years old, and he still fits into it, believe it or not.
I actually have two. I have one from the Hall.
Fred doesn't still fit into his. He just thinks he does.
I have a throwback knit, and I have a regular game jersey, and I also have a Mecklenburg jersey, but those from a long time
ago. You kind of look like Mecklenburg.
I'm a Patriots fan now.
I have a throwback Elway with a lot of Patriot fan claw marks on it when I pulled out here in Boston.
Okay. So what do you think about your team? What do you think about Jay Cutler?
Well, we sort of went through the post-Elway years, and I've warned a lot of my good diehard Patriot fans around here that there will come a time, and unfortunately you're living it now, maybe just a foreshadowing of the future, but the post-Elway years were tough, and it's good to have a quarterback that I think we can believe in again back in Denver.
No, he looks like the real deal.
He is. I still think he's got a couple seasons to groom, but he's certainly showing his stuff a lot more this year.
Yeah, and Dan Graham's going to get back on the field eventually?
I hope so. I mean, everybody when he left here, they said he was a bust, and I'm not sure I don't agree with him right now. We'll see. He's got a lot to prove still in Denver.
Okay,
he's playing.
I thought he was.
Yeah, he was playing last week.
Caught a touchdown last week.
Oh, did he? Was that the first week back?
I don't think he's missed any games.
I thought he was hurt.
I think he may have missed one early on. He's dropped some balls.
He's on
though.
The injury list, but that's a constant with him.
Okay, and this other kid, the receiver that you've got. I mean,
Brandon Marshall.
He seems to be.
He is the real deal.
Yeah.
He's the kind of thing the Broncos should step up, pay him the money that he needs for next year, and make him a franchise guy. He is the real deal.
Yeah.
And he and Cutler, in combination, could be a great thing years to come.
No, it's surprising because I think a lot of people wrote the Broncos off this year. They figure, well, San Diego's going to take it. But I think they're in a battle right now, and I think the Broncos have as good a chance as San Diego to win the West.
To win the division, I agree. Yeah. I mean, obviously they have the lead right now, but it's a long season, as you know, but it's exactly right. I think Cutler came out stronger than anyone anticipated, and the receiver core has been amazing with Brandon Stokely and Brandon Marshall and Eddie Royal.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, he's a rookie. Yeah. He's become one of the top receivers in the league.
Now, is Shanahan deified as much as Belichick is here? I mean, do people just know he can't do anything wrong in Denver?
He is. I mean, he definitely is. Coming out, 10 years removed from our Super Bowl victory, some of that is faded a little bit. So there are some people that have occasionally called for his head, a couple of the losing seasons we've had the last number of years. But generally speaking, he's still a god there.
Yeah.
He is revered as much as Belichick.
So how do you compare Gillette Stadium to Invesco Field?
Well, I always said Mile High, the old original Mile High Stadium, was my favorite place, obviously, growing up there. But it was great for many reasons. One is because it was a very vertical stadium.
Yes.
And it put all the fans, no matter how high you were, up on top of the game. And I think the new Mile High opened before Patriot. And
right.
I was disappointed because they built it like they built a lot of these stadiums now where it's very sort of bowl-like and removed.
Yeah.
They did it right here in Gillette. Gillette Stadium is a great stadium. I actually like it a lot better than the Broncos Stadium for that reason, because here the sight lines are amazing. It's very vertical. I love the fact they have that open concourse where you can be out at the concession stands on that first level and still see the game, still
see
the action.
All the things I hate about it, he loves.
I love it.
Yeah. See, to each his own.
I know.
But I think they missed the boat in Denver. It's a beautiful stadium. It's gorgeous. But you got to the concourse, you have no idea game's going on. You feel like you're in the bathroom the whole
time.
That's because you're supposed to be sitting in your seat watching the game, friend.
But you gotta buy your stuff, right?
But Gillette's a great stadium. I don't come out here often except for Bronco games, but I do enjoy seeing it.
Okay. Most important, have you ever bought a car from John Elway's car dealership?
I've lived in Boston for so many years now.
Oh,
that,
okay.
No is the answer.
Because I was actually thinking of buying a car from him and having it shipped out here.
Just to support John Elway?
Just to support the, support
well, I
John
do,
Elway.
I do. In fact, I got to check the parking lot when I get back. I do have a Bronco license plate. So,
ooh,
you know, driving that around town, I'm not
slash
revered
tires.
By the
state. Your car will be up on blocks. But
he might like the Broncos more than you, Fred.
That's okay. Broncos fans are great fans. They really are.
They are. And we had a chance to cover a couple of games at the old Mile High. And when you sat in that press box, they would make noise.
Oh, you're underneath the stands, and you're shaking.
It would rattle.
Oh, yeah,
it would shake the whole upper level.
Well,
it was a tough place to play.
That camera would shake, even
really
on the broadcast of it.
We did the first live internet post-game show from Mile High Stadium underneath the bleachers there.
Nice, the original one.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a great place. You know, I've described to friends here that watching an AFC Championship game in the old Mile High, there was nothing like it until I was at one of the ALCS games at Fenway Park. Very similar kind of environment. You're all packed in there. Crowds are, you know, right on top of the game, and both incredible.
Okay. Well, Jeff Ackerman, owner of all the Massachusetts Qdobas, we thank you for stopping by. We thank you for, you know, supplying this food every Thursday and your
Fred,
partnership. What?
There are 20 people outside, including Scott Zolak.
Well, why wouldn't they be?
Zolak just got there from yesterday.
So, but we thank you for everything you're doing with the Patriots. Good luck with opening up a Patriot Place and Kenmore Square.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. One other thing I forgot to mention before I go, if it's not too late, is that we wanted to – we have two tickets to the game on Monday that we'd like to give away. We're going to have a we're going to raffle them off Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Anybody that stops by the Patriot location between now and Sunday at 8 o'clock can register to win.
No purchase necessary.
Win two tickets to go to Monday night's game.
Good reason to stop by and see the new.
So Sunday at 8, you're raffling them off.
We're going to raffle them off. So stop by between now and Sunday at 8 to the Patriot location, lunch or dinner.
Okay.
And all they got to do is fill out a form and register. No purchase necessary. And they'll have a chance to win the tickets.
Excellent.
But you will be having a purchase because once you're there, you're not going to be able to pass it up.
We hope that's certainly the case.
You'll even give it to a Bronco fan if they win, right?
And you won't
rig it so that only a Bronco fan wins.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right. That's good. All right. Jeff Ackerman, thank you for coming by Qdoba. It is unbelievable food. We're eating it as I speak, and we love it. So, all right.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CMS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The Super League Championship in the history books. The Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup Championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor 12 and
pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Good of Jeff Ackerman of Qdoba to stop by and give us the lowdown on the new restaurant he's opening up at Patriot Place and Kenmore Square. So, and I'm not talking about the question because I'm not allowed to. Andy will later.
That's true. Well done, Fred.
All right. So I guess before we did the Qdoba break, we were talking a little bit about fan reaction and, you know, where the finger is being pointed and – and Paul, yes?
I want to say, I did before
he
the break.
He did actually raise his hand there. He wanted to talk.
Yeah, it was like class. Before the break, I said it's a poor representation of Patriot fans through our email inbox this week. But I don't think a lot of the people who send those Ask PFWs necessarily represent the entire fan base.
It's kind of like Fred's thing with talk radio and this, you know, a small percentage emails, a small percentage calls.
Because a lot of those emails, the vicious ones were just uncalled for. I'm not talking about the ones directed at me. I couldn't care less about that. But
those were accurate.
Those were accurate, right.
Well, some of them might be other fans from teams trying to get even with us.
There are names that we've seen over the last three or four years. And we know that who they are. And they are reactionary and mean. Downright mean.
It's just very interesting how quickly the worm turns.
And it'll go back the other way. It's going to go back the other way, just like it did from Miami to San Francisco.
They went
back
on
to this
night.
Game, San Diego. It'll go again.
Exactly.
We're
going
to ride the roller coaster.
This is
of crap.
As I said, will be an interesting season.
Yes,
I thought it was fun.
No, was that the Chris Ferreira, our webmaster, is the only one who was excited to see what was going to happen.
Was 30-10 exciting on Sunday, Chris Ferreira?
For me, 16-0 was fun.
Yeah.
That was a fun fact.
A fun fact. Yeah, it really sucks beating everybody by 38 points. Oh. Yeah, it really sucked to watch the Giants go 4-0. That last game was a lot more fun, getting blown off the field.
Now you have more interest in the
season. Yeah, now I'm more. I wasn't interested in a 4-0 team. 4-1 team, I'm really interested.
When they were squeaking by in overtime against the Bengals, I'm just saying. I'm off that boat.
You are unbelievable.
You're an idiot. Is what you are.
I like when he gets
an idiot.
All right, Red Sox tonight, right?
No, we didn't talk about that on the show.
No, just you know,
post-mortem.
It's a. You know, you think it's over? I think Dice K wins tonight.
I think there's a better than average chance that it ends tonight.
Oh,
Dice K doesn't give up any runs. I don't know how they lose tonight.
Right.
I think the Rays are already setting the seeds for an epic collapse with this Kazmir switch. No reason to put. You want Shields to have Game 6? You don't want a Game 6. Pitch Shields tonight. There's no Game 6.
Do you see that? The Boston Herald got some love on SportsCenter for their back page, Ray of Dope.
Kazmir is not very good anymore. This 2-3 years ago, yeah, he was a Red Sox killer. Not anymore. And he's on a burn the bullpen tonight.
All right.
And they're going to be screwed in 6 and 7.
Well, I think it was a wrong move to make the switch.
I think that's why he did it, because he felt he probably was going to need his bullpen tonight. They have a day off tomorrow.
Why is Gary keeping the music?
But if you have
on?
Shields, you don't need the pen.
He's eating. He left.
So I don't understand. Why are you preempting something that's not going to happen?
But if they lose with Shields, then you're going to burn the bullpen potentially in Game 6 with a guy who's hurt, much like the Red Sox situation with Beckett.
So they don't have confidence in Shields?
No, I don't think they have confidence in Kazmir.
Then don't pitch him. See, I don't get it.
They don't have anybody else. You got to pitch somebody.
Shields.
Just like you don't want Wakefield to pitch.
Okay, I really didn't want to talk about the Red Sox.
You brought it up.
It was your fault.
Oh, the music ended.
So you brought up politics and Red Sox on the show today.
I like having the music as a backdrop for the whole show.
Well, it's done now. Oh, Gary's back.
Hi.
Remember we had the conversation about how J-A-X-O-B-I-N is pronounced? It's Jacobin.
Jacobin.
Right. And he writes in again.
Hey, Jacobin.
And he says, I guess since you stated that Mike is the pretty boy, maybe Eric can be beef tits since he claims to be such a physical specimen.
He does.
By the way, you
pronounce. Can we even say that?
You pronounce Jacobin like Jack O'Ben. Jacobin is the true form of the word that comes from the French Revolution, in which they were a group of people that lopped off the heads of people that disagreed with them. So I like the alias.
Oh, it's not his real name?
He spells the alias.
Maybe he meant beef tips, as in
so that's not his real name.
Delicatessen tips.
On to my question: how can the Patriots keep themselves going, especially if neither the offense nor defense can do anything to get their adrenaline running and allow them to feed off each other? I mean, Matt Cassel running into the center's ass can only cause so much excitement. One side of the ball has to step up and give the other side a reason to play hard, other than just because they're on the field.
How about they play hard just because that's their job?
That's their job.
I mean, are we really going to start pointing those fingers like they sort of did post-game that we're not playing well because they made us not feel good and we lost our air?
Hurts my feelings.
Also, he says, to all the Pats fans that are like, our team is done and want to just give up, first off, you're not fans. You type of people are the types that only wear your Pats jersey after the team has won and only talk trash after a win. If you're a real diehard fan, you wear your jersey after a loss and defend your team no matter what. I think I'm one of the maybe 5 Pats fans in Iowa and constantly get blank if they lose. But I'll hold my head high and just let them know that I stick with my team through the good and the bad. If anything else, damn, we won 3 Super Bowls within the last decade. What other team can claim that? Sorry about the rant, but damn, says Jacobin. And if you disagree with him, he's going to lop off your head.
Flay you.
I like the Matt Cassel running into the center's ass part. This is funny.
Well, it's happened twice.
I can't get over
that. Sometimes he doesn't even get to the center's ass. He falls down where he is.
Let's see. Another person unhappy, Jeff from Connecticut, says Richard Seymour needs to shut up or man up. I can't help but think that the coaching staff has not been able to adjust in games lately. This team has never had the jump on the back of their star players, always a game plan team, especially on defense. It looks like that once the game plan does not work, the team cannot compete or adjust. In an interview with Seymour on Monday, I think he threw the offense under the bus, and he has made numerous comments about not needing a Brady under center to win, or before the Bradys and Mosses were there, we were a defensive-type team. I think the offensive coaching staff and defense should realize without Brady, they are not as good. This team has transformed over the years to an offensive powerhouse in the air, and defense always had a first-quarter lead or a team that was behind and had to throw the ball to catch up. Richard Seymour has to be accountable this year. He needs to step up and shut up. Let me say I am a big Pats fan.
Or man up.
And like I would criticize my kids, that's what I'm doing with my team by what I see and hear.
You know, Andy, we were talking about afterward how a lot of the players said that failed red zone drive just really deflated us, and we just couldn't function after that, which is kind of like throwing the offense.
Oh,
the
no
bus.
Question.
You guys screwed up, so we couldn't do our jobs.
I agree.
Which wasn't very good.
Some of those post-game comments, and they came from guys that are normally really standout leader-type guys, Rodney and Seymour, the two that I talked to that had the most to say about that.
Well, I will say to Harrison's credit, he was better yesterday saying how, you know, we're not going to point fingers and how, you know, we're all accountable on defense. Because I think a lot of the time what has happened is Delta O'Neal's really been picked on a lot in the past couple of days, and rightfully so. He had a bad game. But I think they're trying to deflect some of that, too, and absorb it all. So, well, you know, we all screwed up. We didn't make plays. I didn't make plays.
And I think as much as Delta O'Neal has said some things that seem a little not humble, I guess you might say. He was very humble this week.
He was. Well, he got
He was humbled after the game when he didn't say anything, but all you had to do was look at his face, and he was, as I said, it looked like somebody shot his cat.
But I don't think
he is an elite player like a champion.
I don't think
he
was making any excuses.
No, he said he just got beat.
He didn't make any excuses.
He said yesterday about that the first play of the game, he says, you know, it was a good call by them,
and I also
made the play.
I mean, this is a little different for those players. Even though they're leaders and veterans and should know better and say the right thing, I mean, this is twice in 3 weeks that they've had to answer for an absolute debacle on defense, that they've actually stunk on defense. And they're not really used to that. It doesn't come along all that often. I mean, how many times have we said, well, I expect this defense to step up because they rarely have 2 weeks in a row of this, or they're too good? Or, well, now they're going through a phase here where they're getting embarrassed on a somewhat regular basis over the last month. And they haven't really dealt with that a lot over the last 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, 2002, maybe, when they couldn't stop the run. And that was sort of the same year we saw similar types of things from Belichick, from different guys saying different things, because generally, other than that, they've been good, consistent, dominant at times, been able to do what they wanted to do, adjust, all that. These are new times right now.
You know, and outside of that stretch in the San Fran game where they held the 49ers without a first down, it's been a lot of bad defense in the last three games. Because even before that, there were a lot of big plays that were given up in that game early.
But the problem is they've given up bad plays in about 17 different defensive categories.
Yes.
The red zone was good. They beat the Chiefs because they made a couple plays. They beat the Jets because they made all of a sudden the Dolphins come back and the red zone is just a free run zone, touchdown, 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 touchdown.
5 for 5.
They've gotten pressure. You know, they had 4 sacks early on. Now they have no pressure. Then they had pressure again in San Francisco, even though it didn't get sacks. Then it's, shut down the run.
They had 4 sacks against Kansas City,
yes.
No?
Mm-hmm. 4 sacks Kansas City.
So they've had 1 in 4 games.
Yes, I believe the next week against the Jets.
Adalys Thomas. They had one against San Francisco, didn't they?
Yeah.
I thought they had 7 total.
Well, I know they had a sack against...
Okay, they had 7.
You had the sack of Adalys Thomas through Leon Washington.
7 in 5 games.
Okay, so they had 3.
But,
which our pal Hector Longo pointed out yesterday.
They've had 3 in the last 4 games then.
Yes.
Right, so San Francisco, the Jets, and whatever.
Yeah, and I agree.
But they did get a lot of pressure in San Fran without the sack.
A ton. He ran for his life all day long.
And I agree with Bill on that.
But my point is,
the sack is overrated.
They haven't had a consistent problem yet. The problem has changed every week. And that's, to me, sometimes a bigger problem because I don't know if that's coaching or if it's what we talked about yesterday. They're having to do too much to stop any one thing or succeed in any one area week to week, and that's allowing other things to pop up. But they've been consistently inconsistent on defense.
And Andy made a point during the game on Sunday that I thought was good because
I thought it was too.
You talked about this was way worse. Now, San Diego's a much better team than Miami. And you're at San Diego, second game of a West Coast trip, so you can certainly, give them a little bit of slack for losing the game. But the way that they lost it, the way they were outplayed and whatnot, was way more disturbing than the Miami game.
Right.
Because the Miami game, you could make an argument that they took them lightly. They caught him off guard with a different formation, even though I think that was a little bit overblown. But it was a different formation. Caught him off guard. They had trouble, and they didn't play well. Chalk it up to a bad week. Well, now 3 weeks, 2 games later, everything that San Diego did was very conventional.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing outside of the box that San Diego did in that game. There were no reverses. There were no double passes. No gadget plays. No trick formations. Nothing. They ran the ball with LaDainian Tomlinson 20 times, and they threw the ball with Phillip Rivers another 25 times, and they couldn't stop it. You know, they really just couldn't stop it. To me, that was much more, and you said that right away, Andy. This is far more alarming to me than the Miami game.
Put them together, it's really alarming.
The inconsistency is troubling.
Ping Pong writes in.
Ping Pong.
I thought he was pool table now.
He says, first, all the people who keep on saying that the Patriots should pull Castle, shut the bleep up. On Monday, when I wrote in, you didn't understand what I meant when I said Canadian fishing boat. I'll explain. Last summer, I visited a close friend of mine up in Canada.
He and his dad own like the Stifler of Maine or something.
He and his dad own a large yacht, so we planned on going on a 3 to 4 day trip on the boat. He said that he would invite a couple friends to join us. When I showed up at the boat, what do I see but 6 beautiful girls? To make things short, by the end of the 4 days, I was sore in places Eric wouldn't know about. But that was the best boat trip I've ever taken. Wow. This kid leads quite a life.
He's stiff.
Is he a novelist?
Yeah.
Because he sure writes a lot of good fiction.
Yeah. Whoa, okay.
He actually reminds me of Eric.
On to the game. I think
he has no formal training.
I think the Patriots will play an electrified game on Monday. They will play to prove that they still are a good team in the NFL. I think that they will also play to prove that the defense is able to tackle and cover. My prediction is the Pats win 24-17. P.S. Yesterday, Wednesday at school, we had Taco Day for lunch, and they announced it on the PA system. When it came through, it went something like this. And today, we will have a taco fiesta, so get ready to banging fun a great lunch. I couldn't help myself from laughing.
Banging fun?
Ready to banging fun.
Who's your principal, Andy Hart?
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. Maybe it's something Canadian.
Oh.
He lives in Maine. Didn't he say he lives in Maine?
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
I thought he did on one of his emails, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, maybe.
And he went up to Canada for the Canadian
fishing.
So
if they, if Ping Pong also says, I just got done watching Eric's art video. I think I'm going to die laughing.
If they come out on Monday night and they do what Ping Pong says.
I have no formal.
What does that mean?
I have no formal artistic training.
If they come out and play a spirited game and all the stuff that Ping Pong says, they're trying to establish themselves, you know, does that mean that they have done it?
Well, it means that right now they're still an inconsistent team.
Yeah, I agree.
It's better than the alternative. Oh, if they come out and Brandon Marshall goes for six catches for .180 and Jay Cutler throws for .340, well, then you're just, you know.
You got a problem.
Turn out the lights.
I agree. I mean, I think they're going to win the game anyway, but I'm just saying that won't.
No.
I won't know any more about
them
then
the
than
hump.
I do now.
They have to do this game in and game
just
out.
Just so you know, I'm not going to be saying they're over the hump until the season ends. Either way, I just think they're going to ride, as Paul said, the roller coaster.
Yeah,
the
I
pendulum, whatever.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Analogy you want to use, they are not anything
that
consistent.
They could get off that either way. I think if you know you go out and you lose to Denver and then maybe you lose to a St. Louis or something like that, I think you're off that for the negative.
Well, that's
now,
true.
At the same
if they
time,
lose to St. Louis, I might be ready to say
they stink.
At the
same time, if you go out to Indy in 3 weeks and you pull an upset out there, you're off it the other way,
and
I think.
Both of those are possible, not only because of the Patriots, but because of the league.
Right.
I think the league stinks, but I think there's some talent. So
right now, I don't think the latter is possible. I don't think they could lose. I don't think they could beat Indy.
I mean, we're coming off a season where every week you knew what was going to happen, at least from the offense. You knew that they were going to, you know, and
absolutely.
We just don't know this year.
On either side.
No.
It's not just the offense. The offense has an excuse. They changed their quarterback. The defense, what did they change?
We just don't know. You know, and those of us like me are still hanging our hat on the fact that we think we had a pretty good team aside from Brady, and we're hoping that they start playing to their potential.
11-5, you said.
Yeah.
Now?
You still think
No. That was
That's what I said after
Brady went down.
Hurt.
From 12-4 to 11-5, he
you
dropped it.
You still think so, Fred?
Let me see after this game.
That's as big a no as you're going to get from Fred Kirsch on this show.
It's an undecided. I'm voting present.
I still got the
you're
window
out
is
like
6-10, 10-6
from other
window.
People we know.
All right.
And I think it's going to be
if you know it's
the middle
if
of that
it's 10-6 based on what we've seen.
I don't
hey,
think it's
going to
be.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be.
Jason in Chiba says, twice is perhaps too often to write in 1 week, but Andy called me a fan of Fred when he said Fred was letting us down. I can't let that stand. So, Andy, in this political season, I hereby repudiate you. I am not a fan of Fred. I merely use him to bring me solace when the Pats lose, and to look winded in debates with you on TV, and to steal tequila, and to Walsh Patriot Bills, and you guys. Jeez. Yesterday, you brought up a bunch of suggestions about improving the team, and I've got one. Have the whole team stop sucking. It's that simple. Provide each player with a room to himself where he can examine his crotch and make sure he has balls. Then tell him to go out in the field and play like it. One final thing. The following people are Deuce Canoes, Eric. That is all.
Well, I guess I was wrong then if that's the way some of the fans feel because – I feel like that. I feel like it's been a system breakdown here. I don't think Matt Castle has been good, but I don't think that there's really very many elements of this team through five games that have been consistently good. I thought, like
Steven
I said,
Gustkowski.
Steven Gustkowski. Could be one. I said very many.
Right.
You know, and I made the comment
Falcon Gustkowski
that Andy and I disagreed.
The ageless one.
I thought Randy Moss had passes thrown his direction the other night that he caught last year that he didn't catch Sunday night.
Who's this?
And Randy Moss. Oh. You know, to me, that's part of the system-wide breakdown. You know, defensively, I think we don't even have to go any further. I mean, the results are that 30-plus points in two out of the last three games.
Yeah, they need some kind of come-to-Jesus meeting or something.
They need to improve almost across the board. Kevin Faulk, Steven Gostkowski. Any others?
All right.
Gerard Mayo.
Here's a question. Here's
the
question.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think out of the box, okay? You're trying to motivate this team.
Andy always likes to think in the box.
Who in the world?
Eric's never seen the box.
If you had to bring in, if you had to bring in one person, and we'll throw this out to our listeners as well. If you had to throw out one person to come in and give this team a motivational talk, who would it be?
Dan Clayton.
Think about it. You can one guy to come in or woman.
John McCain.
To come in and to give this team a motivational
My
talk,
friends.
Who would it be?
You know, starting in January, we're going to lay more pipe.
Brabe will be like, excuse me, what was that you said about laying pipe?
Andy's onto something with the McCain thing because twice now he's been written off for dead and he's come back. So, you know, a lot of people are writing the Patriots off right now. Maybe
that's McCain. What happens with zombies. They just keep coming back.
Gary, I could hear him through the glass. Minutes ago, he hated Fred. Now he's back on with him.
No, I still
hate Fred.
So who would be a good one?
That's an interesting question. What do you need right now? That's one thing you need to decide. What
think about it.
The message is exactly that you need to portray.
Who would it be?
I thought you were going to ask, who would you like to add to the team or something? Number 12?
Oh.
Ask him to talk to the team?
No.
That's an option.
No.
Cape Cod Squat.
He stopped competing.
Writes in, he says, hello, boys. I include Eric in that phrase. I missed the Neckin show Tuesday night, so I was looking for it on the site, and I didn't see it.
That's Paul's fault.
Well, no, it wasn't.
Chris didn't get it till yesterday morning.
What's that all about?
You got the DVD, and it was blank.
Right. So how's that our fault?
Neckin sent us a blank disc, but they were FedExing one last night, so Chris should get it today, and he'll get it up there.
Chris will get it up as soon as he can. You're unlike anybody I've ever met.
He's terrible. He's
the way
just a terrible
he just,
person.
Like, ridiculously throws people under the bus.
Yeah, yeah. He is not someone you'd want to go to war with.
Andy and I are standing there waiting for the guy to give us a DVD.
Yeah.
Maurice.
We both wait together. I hand it to you, and Paul dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Because it was blank.
He'd be that guy in World War II with the German translation book, just in case he needs to. Just in case he needs to
can
go.
I'll handle this. Let
can
me
you
do the talking.
If he was McCain. Da, 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 da.
Obviously, Fred Kurtz.
If I was with McCain.
No, listen. There's some other guys you don't know about. They're over here.
Cape Cod also says love the show. Can't believe what a defensive back get it.
DB.
It just says DB, doesn't it? It doesn't say the word defensive back.
I see what he's saying. So we'll skip that. No, there's other things here.
Thanks, Cape Cod.
Cape Cod Squat.
Squat.
Hi, guys. Hi, Eric. No, Eric, I don't separate you out because I think you are gay. I don't. I separate you out because I don't really consider you to be one of the guys. You've never made pretenses at being one and therefore are given no such consideration. Now on to bigger and
better
things.
Who is this?
This is Joel.
I have no formal artistic training.
Joel from Merrimack.
You do try to distance yourself from us. So,
well, it's part of the show, too. You know.
Now that's what people have given you.
Now on to bigger and better things. I've been thinking about the Denver game, and even though we are 3-point favorites, I think I'll be picking Denver this week. I can see Shanahan doing the exact same thing to us that we tried to do to the Chargers last week, namely stacking the box and daring us to beat him through the air. And considering that some of Brady's worst games have come against Denver, I don't see Castle faring any better. They will shut down the run and blitz Castle at least a dozen times. Castle was able to get away with underthrowing Moss against lesser corners, but against Champ Bailey, I believe Belichick will play a lot of nickel and dime packages.
How do you spell that?
It was dot, dot, dot. I threw that in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well done.
I believe Belichick will play a lot of nickel and dime packages and will try some stunting to get pressure on Cutler. If Cutler is allowed to remain as unmolested as Rivers was, it is going to be a long day. Now, having said that, I truly hope I am completely wrong and that we run over Denver like a juggernaut, but I don't see that happening. By the way, Paul, I agree with what you said about Rodney the other day. He should consider pointing the finger at himself before he tosses the offense under the bus.
Is that exactly what Paul said?
I thought that the comment about the wind being taken from their sails was kind of un-Rodney, unpatriot-like.
I agree with that.
Now, Paul, you talked to Rodney a lot. I'm sure you expressed that to him face-to-face.
Well, I wanted
exactly.
to talk to Rodney a little bit today, and actually I was going to bring that up after I said, so did you get a chance to see Junior out there? That's how I was going to work my way into
The next
it.
Line was, why don't you point the finger at yourself before you point the finger at the offense?
First of all, I didn't say that. I just
No, I'm just going with the emailer. That's what they said.
The last part of what the emailer said is how I feel. I don't think I understand the heat of the battle after a game. Sometimes we can give them a pass. I thought those comments by Seymour and Harrison, by the way, were, you could construe that as pointing the finger, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they were still on the 2-yard line. I mean, is it against the rules to force a 3-and-out there?
Yep.
Could even score two points.
It's the old Paul Brown saying, which goes, when...
I doubt this very much that this is exactly what it is.
No, when things are good, okay, we did it.
Wow.
When things are great,
a lot of wrong things on this show, but that might be the wrongest.
And when things are bad, I did it. And that's the way they should
do it. Bill certainly adheres to that philosophy. Yeah. Bill always says, first... we got to coach better.
Right. Yeah, and some ass PFWers have noticed that and have started to say, well, when's he going to coach better? I'm sick of hearing him say he can coach better.
Don't for a second think he thinks that coaching is the problem.
So the emailer is saying that Rodney and Seymour saying that the four downs at the goal line took the wind out of their sails is pointing the finger at the offense?
Yes.
Yeah.
I say it's just the opposite.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, because if you allow that to happen to yourself, that's saying we allowed ourselves to let that happen.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, no,
I don't think that's what he meant.
But I think there was an element of pointing the fingers at the offense in the comment. I agree with you wholeheartedly. They should have taken the field and said, "Listen, they can't get it in. We got to stop. We got to do it for them.
On the two, let's get a safety or a stop or let them punt inside the end zone."
Instead, they said not getting it in took the wind out of their sails.
Right. This whole When Brady went down, this whole thing was everyone needed to step up now. So you're going to see that happen. Right. As a defense, that means you got
to
play harder.
It especially
that was
needs
the whole idea,
done,
right?
So at the very least, I think he's pointing the finger all around with that comment.
I don't think he pointed the finger at the defense at all in that comment. I really don't. I think he was pointing the – I mean, I think you can make an argument that he didn't necessarily mean it literally the way it came out. Like I said, heat of the battle right after a game, disappointing loss. But that's what he said, and that's what Seymour said too. You know, it was a big 14-point swing there, and we sort of were let down when we came onto the field. I think you actually made a comment too about the short yardage run. You know, when it's third and one, you know, it's all well and good to get a yard or two, you know, and get the first down, but you can get 10 or 12 too in those situations if you want.
Right.
You know, there's no rule that says, you know, moving the chains is all you have to do.
Right.
There's no rule there that says the defense had to go in and let them drive 98 yards.
Yep.
So I put it on. Now, that's why, as bad as I think Castle played the other night, I think he was just one of many, many problems in that game.
Yep. John in L.A. is on the phone. John, how you doing?
Pretty good. I have an idea for the team and Rodney and Seymour.
Okay.
How about play better and then you can talk? Just shut up and win a game.
Right.
Wow.
Really. I mean, they're playing.
What's the matter? Sales going slow, John? Wow.
It's a 14-point swing? Yeah, because you gave up a 98-yard drive. Shut up.
You're right. And that's what I think we were all trying to...
Yeah, that's my point exactly.
Good God, this team.
Oh,
you know, it doesn't
count as
being mentally tough when you win all the time. It's mentally tough when you have Brady out and you've just got stuffed because, for some reason, on the 1-yard line, you don't want to try to throw a fade to Randy Moss three times. I mean,
or put him on the field.
Or even have that be a possibility. There's
no excuse.
I think you just got to run the ball there.
Either way.
I think you run the 1-yard line, you have a backup quarterback in the game, and you're asking him to play the way you would with the NFL MVP in the field. And to me, that was an error in judgment. Yep. You know, we could say all we want about how open Benjamin Watson was. He was. Matt Castle missed him. He was wide open. He was waving to him.
Heath Evans was open,
too. John's
gone.
To me, you turn around and you hand the ball off, and that's the way you do it.
Hi, I'm Tara, Pizza with a Smile Bertrand. Now it's time for this week's Qdoba Question of the Week.
Oh, it's time. So now we have to have a caller.
Now people call when they hear that.
Okay, so it's time to call 508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482. First caller will ask you the question, and if you get it right, you win a 20-person buffet courtesy of Qdoba. You can pick it up at any participating Qdoba restaurant in Massachusetts.
And Qdoba's great.
And Jeff Ackerman will hand it to you, the owner of all the Qdobas.
Sure about that?
Well,
in Massachusetts. I don't know.
How many does he own?
18,
I think.
Wow.
And
absolutely.
Growing.
He's loaded, huh?
They just opened up one in Kenmore Square.
I think he said 18.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the teens.
Something like that.
I should talk to him if he wants to get on in the Schwings franchises.
Hey, Freddie.
Yeah.
People aren't calling because I think they're waiting to hear the question. You don't hear the question until you call.
Yeah, we're not going to say what the question is. The first person that calls will ask the question. If you get it wrong, then...
Got to go into it blind.
You know, and so to ensure that, Gary hasn't given the question to Fred.
Well, I was going
to
ask you, do we have a question yet?
Now,
yes.
I have five.
Now, just so people... I know some people's strategies, well, I'm not going to be the first one. I'm going to hear the question, hope that they get it wrong, have time to look it up. But the last 2 weeks, the first caller has gotten it right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to look
so,
it up.
So these questions aren't exactly, you know, so...
We've got dedicated listeners.
You don't want to wait. You want to be the first caller.
Wikipedia?
So that you get it.
I actually have five questions, so if they get it wrong, we can ask a different one.
Oh, okay. So there. So you need to call right now.
Gary, show prep.
508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482. Matt from Connecticut is mad at me. He says, what the heck, Fred? I put those Matt from Connecticut statements in my emails for a reason, not so you can tell everyone I go to Siena. By the way, I would take you all on in basketball at the same time, and I will destroy you.
Probably. What is he, 7 feet
tall? That's all, are you?
Yeah. There's a stipulation there.
He went to Siena. Fran McCaffrey. I'm not real impressed.
Strippers has hired a bunch of new strippers for his agency, and nice. He sent us pictures of them.
I would like to see those later.
Actually, only two new ones, Monica and Kaylee.
Ooh, Kaylee.
So.
What do you think, Fred?
Huh? It's hard to sell from the pictures.
That's not good.
Wow.
You know?
Did you even look
at them?
Yeah, I did a little bit on the break.
A little bit. During the break.
Josh writes in yesterday's show, Eric said how he thought some Stella Artois, how he bought some Stella Artois in the West Coast as a proud sheep shagger who loves to drink and get drunk. I can say 100% that anyone who buys Stella and asks for Stella Artois is a pansy like the French.
How are you supposed to say it?
That's how you say it.
But I guess he says you're supposed to just say Stella.
Nah, well, whatever.
Stella!
As for it being exotic, the nickname for Stella in the UK is wife beater. I don't know.
Okay, it tastes good. I don't care about any of this other crap.
He says, also, Fred, you better bring your A game in the picks this week. I'm only two behind you.
Yeah, Fred, you were a little disappointing last week. You still won, but you were a little disappointing.
Yeah, it was a tough week.
You're like the Patriots late last season. Still winning, but
the listener says he's two behind you, Fred?
Yeah. That's just straight up, though, probably. Because the picks thing on PFW in progress, that's straight up or against the spread?
I believe it's straight up.
Yeah, that's not really the test of a man.
I like that this year.
Test of a man is against the spread.
I'm doing very well against the spread, so I agree with you, Fred.
Right.
The man?
I'm doing horribly straight up.
Todd,
what a bunch of wimps our callers are.
They won't call?
No calls.
Meow.
They are.
They're afraid.
Yeah. I mean, what's the worst?
Well, I'm afraid.
I know a lot of you don't live in Massachusetts. Most of you don't. But give it to somebody else that does. You know? Hand it off.
Give it to Andy Hart.
Yes. Or just all of us in general.
You know? 508-543-7482. Montreal Mike in Florida writes in. Great show minus the politics. Brady,
I agree.
Brady made the defense look better. It's simple. We can agree last year the secondary looked okay because they were rarely on the field. The lack of offense is exposing the average defense we really have. We need to blitz more often. Let's face it. This is not the type of team that will work with a QB that just manages the game. We need long, sustained drives, just like the opening drive in the second half last week. By the way, they should have run four times. This is the year Maroney needed to break out. Oh, well, so much for that.
He wasn't active anyway.
No, I think overall he's saying, you know. Castle looked like he wanted to run scramble every time they play action on the goal line. He had guys open every time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming Castle, but he is not the answer. They should have grabbed a veteran when they had a chance, not that there was anything out there. Well, then who could they have grabbed?
There weren't many options.
No,
I was talking
weren't.
Actually to our pal Borgie in the locker room today about that. Todd Collins might have been one. That they could have gotten, you know, obviously a local kid, Walpole, you know, end of his career. He might have been willing to come here.
30s.
You know, he might have been willing to come here, maybe not for as much money as he signed.
Yeah, he got like $4 million.
He got good money in Washington. There's no way that the Patriots would have signed a backup quarterback for that kind of dough. But there's a possibility. There weren't a lot of guys that were actually available. You hear all the names. You hear Billy Volek, Gus Farratt, and
Kerry Culpepper.
Kerry Collins. Well, he is available. But you hear all those other names. Those guys are on other teams. Damon Heward. You would have had to make
Well, Farratt was available.
Farratt was no, he wasn't.
He was with the Vikings, I thought.
Pretty sure he signed with them.
He re-signed with them then because he was on the Vikings last year, too. Because
he was going to retire.
Well, he was on the Vikings last year.
Yeah, I think he was with them last
that.
Year, too.
Anyway, Andy thinks about that.
Was he on the Rams last
year? I think he was on the Rams last year.
He went from
the
Vikings
was
to the Rams
retire,
back to the Vikings?
And the Vikings called.
I'll look that up. Hold on.
I'm pretty sure he was on the not on the Vikings and was available as a regular free agent.
Tony in Greenwich, Connecticut, laugh if you want, as you clowns did yesterday at my criticism of Josh McDaniels. I will stand by my opinion that he does not call a good game. But let's move on. I'm a huge Belichick guy, and Bill we trust is my mantra. But is he being exposed a little here? Why is Adalis Thomas ever being dropped back in coverage? He is not being utilized properly. He should be pass rushing all the time. He's the team's best pass rusher on a team that is starving for a pass rush. I don't understand. As for the front three, I stand by these guys. They're not pass rushers. They are run defenders. The Pats must get a pass rush from their outside linebackers.
Good point.
I'd like to get it from both.
Real quick, Andy was right. He was on St. Louis last year. He was in Minnesota, then went to Miami, St. Louis. Now he's back in Minnesota.
All right.
I don't want him, by the way. I just
on the phone right now, all the way from the Philippines, is Dave. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great.
I'm just recovering. I'm still recovering from the Miami game. Oh, what a fiasco.
Yes. Too bad there's been another fiasco more recently.
Yeah, but I was at the Miami game, and first Patriots game I ever go to, and that's what I have to see.
We've had a lot of bad first Patriots games experiences this year. Remember we had a couple people?
Yep.
I went to the Chiefs game, my first game ever seeing the Patriots, and down
if you go in this year, it's going to be a bad experience probably.
Pretty interesting, though, Mike.
It will be interesting. But
interesting.
Anyway.
It will be interesting and fun. Sure.
Dave, are you ready to take a chance? See if you can win some tacos here.
Why not?
Okay. Why not? Gary has just handed me the question.
Question number one.
Which has been kept very tightly wrapped. I was going to make a Paul joke there, but it didn't seem appropriate. Paul and Eric missed Tuesday's show, and we had to save stories until yesterday about Fred and Andy's, myself's, athletic exploits, Eric's awkward flirting, and Paul getting loaded and singing 80s tunes. So my question to you, Dave, is, how many beers did Paul drink last Saturday night in San Diego?
Oh, goodness. At that game? I didn't hear the show, but I'm going to take a shot and say 9.
Yeah!
Well done.
I was going to give you a clue, but you didn't even need it. Well done. You pulled it out of nowhere.
Which obviously means laughing and singing drunk.
That's quite a shot you took there.
That was good.
Well done, Dave.
I figured anybody sitting through that game that drank beer, it's going to be more than a six-pack at least.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dave, you have just won a 20-person buffet from Qdoba. You stay on the line with Gary. He'll get your info. And you can, you know, I don't
have
know what you're going
to
do with that in the Philippines, but you can give it to somebody that lives in Mass.
How long do I have to claim it? Because I am coming back for the holidays.
You have one year, so you'll be all set.
Nice. You'll be having a taco fiesta for the holidays.
Nothing says Christmas like tacos.
No, this is
Tex-Mex.
This is really good stuff, Dave. They've been giving us the food every Thursday. It's awesome.
It's very good.
So you're going to love it.
Well done.
All right, looking forward to it.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, Dave from the Philippines.
The Partners Report.
Today's Qdoba of the Week question.
That continues the streak now with first callers getting it right.
Right. Yeah, it's very good.
He couldn't have taken a shot in the dark on that and got it.
Well, not.
Well, you assume somebody's drunk, so Paul's a big guy. How many beers would it take?
One per inning?
One beer per inning.
I was actually going to give him a clue.
That was an extra inning.
How many
game,
times though? Was Ferris Bueller absent?
Nine times.
Let's see.
We have a practice report.
Oh, practice report.
Jesus.
You didn't raise your hand, Mike.
He coughed it.
I don't call on you unless you raise your hand.
Hi from Ohio. okay. We had 7 guys out of practice again today, but a little bit of a switcheroo. Matt Light back on the field. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Wilhite not out there.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Perlow has his own theories on that.
Was Kelly Washington out there?
No. Huh? No Kelly Washington. No Lamont Jordan as usual. No Lawrence Maroney.
As usual. Both those running backs were in the locker room. Just
Maroney, Wilhite, and Washington around, huh?
Oh, my God. No Nick Kasher, no Jarvis Green, no Eric Alexander, who does not do a good job of hiding out. He's, like, sitting outside in there, like, in front of the window.
Michael, remember in San Jose? He walks by Mike, Eric, and I, and he looks at us and goes, oh, I didn't think you guys were still here.
Yeah. Alexander hasn't gotten the thing down. You know, I was thinking about potential injured reserve candidates if roster moves have to be made to activate people, and Eric Alexander could be one.
Certainly.
He hasn't played since week one now with this.
Yeah.
First it was a calf injury, then now it became a hamstring. So,
and he's constantly banged up, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's all speculation.
He's been that guy before.
Yes.
Yeah. When he had an injury that was lingering and they put him on IR and not immediately.
Don't discount. If Oliver Ross is ready to go and they want him to play, they could just cut Wesley Britt, too.
That's true.
Flat out cut him.
I mean, he has had a big role as a backup tackle.
Right. Washington would also be another candidate to just go on IR.
I agree,
sure.
too.
The longer they go and their special teams is good, you say, well, these guys are playing, the young guys are playing, I don't need you.
Yeah, because their coverage units have been pretty good. I mean, the punt coverage was bad the other night, but that's been an exception.
Jim Miller made a nice tackle.
Gerard Mayo wearing a number 58 yellow jersey. Who's 58 on the Broncos?
DJ Williams?
I think it is.
Good guess.
Wow. When did Boss Bailey get hurt?
Sunday.
Oh, what happened?
I don't know, but I saw him get hurt.
That's shells today, by the way.
He's not great, but
for what
2 days
worth.
In a row, huh?
2 days
he's
in a row
a speedy part of their defense.
He was a guy that Andy and Paul were infatuated with in the college drafting process.
He'll affect it when they go 3-4. Because I read a lot of stuff about he's the most positively affected by it. He really enjoys playing in the 3-4, gets to do the most different things.
Well,
and
it would seem to lend have a benefit to athletic linebackers.
Certainly.
Like him. You know?
And the other guy they've been trying to switch is Jarvis Moss, who they drafted as an end, and they're trying to make an outside linebacker for that 3-4 grouping.
Do they have a player named Ben Jarvis Moss Ellis? Just be funny. I don't know. Okay, not funny.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
It's like Paul Brown used to say, when we win, we did it. When you win, you did it. And when I win, I did it.
Okay. Paul from London writes in, the Qdoba advertisement, there's a guy that sounds just like Gary in it in a few parts.
Yes.
And he wants more two-gender blogs and more music during Joel and Merrimack's phone calls. That was hilarious. Do you know that you kept on hungry like a wolf during that whole phone call? Gary?
I didn't hear a phone call.
No, it was during the open and when we came back from the break.
Yeah, you went to get some food. And Fred goes, why is there still music playing? And I said, because Gary went out to get food.
An appropriate
like
song on Qdoba Thursday. Because we are all hungry like wolves.
And as is every other employee in the building, apparently. Strongly.
That was impressive, though, that all those people were standing there waiting for us. Had I known that, I would have delayed it even
it was
longer.
Like a wedding.
I told them. I said, donate till the guys come up.
Next week they can eat.
Thanks,
they
Gary.
Can,
because there'll be no food left.
Oh, okay.
Screw that.
Oh, then tell Qdoba they get the food here earlier.
There's like 75 people out there.
And it begins.
And so?
Half of them I've never met before.
And we never ate
my
again.
Food.
No, I don't mind them eating. I don't.
As
like,
long as we.
I don't
fed.
Like people waiting for me. I don't. I feel very.
I felt uncomfortable.
It's our food.
I felt very uncomfortable.
It's not our food. It's the company's food.
Don't get territorial,
but it's
Andy.
For this show. If Brian Oates hadn't done it,
right.
We wouldn't have anything.
Oatsy can eat.
So Oatsy can say.
But some guy I've never seen before from down the hall isn't doing anything for
Oates
it.
Oates can tell anyone he wants to come down here and eat.
Yeah, but he didn't tell
it's
any
like
of them.
Gary's like mediating. He's like. He's like moving buttons, pushing things.
We'll end up with no food.
I've been doing that for 8 years here, Paul.
God forbid you skip a meal.
Wow.
You think that's what it's like to be a player? Everybody waiting for you to do your thing before anything can happen?
Sure.
Yeah.
Chris with a TIN, who was... He says, I haven't heard it mentioned, but do you guys think there is at least some effect of a Super Bowl hangover?
Nope.
No.
Not anymore.
I remember Andy saying in the offseason that it could be an issue. He said, considering that the Pats had the greatest offense of all time and were relatively healthy, they still couldn't win the Super Bowl, and that may or may not take a toll mentally.
No, I would say we lost our quarterback hangover.
I never got a chance to find that out because Tom Brady went down
it's
in the first
quarter
irrelevant.
Of the
first
I do game. Think there was a possibility that that could have happened.
Yeah, but we'll
never
know.
It was wiped out when Brady
it's
got
now irrelevant.
It's like my Chad Greenway will suck argument.
It's
he blew his
like,
knee out. I'll never know.
It's just like,
we
can sit here and be totally convinced that if Bill had signed one of those veteran quarterbacks that things would be different, but we'll never know because he didn't.
I personally think it's the lack of horses, as Paul said. I mean, this year's free agent class is a disappointment with the exception of Jordan and is reminding me more and more of 2005 every day. Also, the Pats clearly lost their best player on offense, and I would say with the departure of Asante, it now appears they also lost their best player on defense.
Lack of horses. Yeah. Secretariat was available on the free agent market. 0-2.
Although you're not allowed to juice them in Massachusetts.
No,
you'll be here all night.
No.
Banned that.
Oh, boy. Probably.
Wah, wah, wah.
So how's that remember that little debate last year, who was the MVP, Randy Moss or Tom Brady?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tom Brady won.
Brady. We had a definitive answer to that question.
Well, I think one of our emailers said, you know, does this make Tom Brady also the MVP this year?
Yeah.
I mean, it proves that, you know.
I heard that.
Yeah. Well, as if you needed this to realize his value to the team. But well,
some people, I think, did.
I guess this would work.
Fred did when he knocked him down a whole
win. From
12-4
to 11-5.
12 wins now. 11-5.
Colin from Connecticut just had a question I wanted to run by you. Where is Fernando Bryant? Since his release from the Pats, I've heard
nothing
about him.
With
is he with another team? And if he's not, why hasn't Belichick brought him back?
For the same reason he cut him.
Because he's not good.
I mean, they haven't lost anybody in the secondary. Obviously, he felt the guys he kept were better. Right?
Yeah.
I guess emailer is insinuating that Fernando Bryant would be better than Delta.
I mean, now, if Delta O'Neal got hurt,
you could make that argument.
I was going to say, you could definitely say that, but obviously Bill doesn't feel like that, or he wouldn't have cut one.
Don't go Big Show on me now. Bill kept him, so he must be good.
No, I think, listen.
I know what you're trying to do there.
I told you on we had, remember the roster report that we did for that week?
Yes.
I was as stunned for that transaction
absolutely.
As any that I
we
can
all
remember.
Were.
That was as stunning as Lawyer Malloy in 03 that no one saw coming.
Did you guys happen to see, speaking of guys that got cut and didn't go anywhere, that Chad Jackson worked out with the Broncos? Hope Shanahan's not trying to pick his brain for something.
Not much to pick.
So Chad, while I got you here, you know, when they were running three wide and overloaded. So what? Huh? A fade? What?
I got a fade last week. No, on the field.
That was better.
That was good. Yeah, that was one better. For three.
Yep.
Eric's still here.
well, the best part was Mike left and Eric came in and we never even mentioned it. We just started having Eric talk and Mike stopped talking and then Mike came back. We never even referenced a change in the guests.
People can distinguish between voices at this point.
I know, but it seems a little unprofessional.
And Eric actually talked when he got here.
He did.
Good.
He was almost as good as Lori was last week.
Oh, come on now.
Why are you taking shots all of a sudden?
Lori
Bronski?
Yeah, she had tremendous analysis last week.
Of what?
I thought he was going.
I thought he was going somewhere else too. Yeah, she had tremendous.
John in L.A. is mad because Gary cut him off.
Oh, no, I'm
John,
not mad at
don't
all.
Be mad.
You're not mad.
Oh, he's back.
I just wanted to say that nothing. I'm listening to the podcast from the other day or from last week. Nothing has made me happier than the speed with which Christina Acker was able to say that she knows who Jenna Jameson is.
Oh,
that was fantastic.
Did I talk about her with
you? Yes, in the most awkward 15 minutes
in show
history. And
you try to tell us that show wasn't awkward? You're talking about porn stars?
You're talking about porn, her dating Brian Lowe. It was awkward.
Oh, no. The reason I brought up her was because we were talking about strippers.
Mm. Yes.
And I had to...
Oh, okay.
Much better.
No, I had to explain who strippers was. You know.
Fair enough.
So, what else, John?
Well, she said that it's only strictly professional between her and Brian Lowe.
Right.
But I think that's not included. At his house when the lights go out.
Whoa.
What the hell have you heard?
actually, I did want to say, do you think
is that a masturbation joke? Touches himself.
The fact that Brady is injured for the entire year is going to bring somebody back, if the Patriots wanted him back, which I don't know if they would. Someone like Brewski, who might be like, you know what, this was going to be my last year, but I would like one last shot, which is why I came back this year, and maybe I'll take it next year.
Some guys might. That might influence some of their decision that, you know, this was kind of a wasted year. I want to come back another year, you know.
Right.
Harrison, I thought that's why some of them came back this year was because
well,
last
I know,
year was the wasted
but
year.
Now Brady's
right.
not here, so he's
but now
saying
they
when Brady
have
comes
another
back
shot
next season,
with Brady.
Well, those
certainly
guys come back
here.
Isn't there a point, though, where it becomes a little too late to
well,
come
that's
back
the point. Bill has to say you're no longer welcome back.
For me, 06, but, you know, what are you going to do? I don't make those calls.
It's not up to the player, though, to say I'm not going to come back if they – that's when the head coach steps in. Remember Troy Brown? He'd still like to come back. Bill said,
right.
"We don't want you back."
I don't need to validate my career.
All right. See you, John. Go turn the lights out and take care of yourself.
Now that's terrible.
What?
He's got his stack of DVDs on one table.
That's
Vaseline
terrible.
On the other.
Speaking of strippers, he says, that's "Will this deep. Season end up
Some
tarnishing Belichick's legend? He can't win without Brady." They'll say.
Yes, they will.
I don't think it tarnishes his legend. Only for those people who
it's not,
don't like
we all
him.
Know
it's
it was
only,
Romeo Crennel. He's never won without.
It's only 1 year, too. I mean,
right.
It's going to be hard to
Romeo beat the Giants.
Make that comment.
That's right.
Up. There's the door.
Hola, yo soy Iggy desde Madrid.
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day.
What is this?
That's Word of the Day. How's that paella treating my amigo con grande cabeza?
Oh, Iggy from Madrid. Oh.
Yes.
What was your first?
I didn't think it was.
I didn't know.
The
I didn't
fact that he said this is Iggy from Madrid.
I didn't hear him say that.
What gave it away?
He'd listen.
Actually, Day Madrid. I think.
He should have showed up with the show when he was here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't have blown Iggy up.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have blown Iggy
have
up.
Some respect.
Maybe he should have come on a day when I was here.
How we never know when you're going to be here.
He's
you're
coming from
out.
Spain.
Tuesday What's the down. Word of the day?
The word of the day. For all of you coming from Europe, make sure that Eric is here on the day that you arrive, okay? It's a
and this one is in reference to Eric's beer choice. Stella Fella.
Oh,
that's Stella Fella.
Thanks, Gary.
Well, you know that one.
No, but oh. It has to be. It's obviously bad.
Obviously. I do it's know, Gary. It's great.
Would be in the Urban Dictionary if
well,
it was.
Well, it's a... Can I read it, Gary, except for the obvious ones? It's a brain-dead bleep-wit who usually male, drinks copious amounts of that fine lager beer Stella, gets, I don't even know what that word means, and starts a fight or
just hand it
okay.
off.
I'm glad
I'm
that
the
you
one
read
that
it.
Can't
There's
read.
There's
two words in...
I'm
what is B.I.?
Can I just pass it along.
Just in case, don't.
Just give me pass the paper. Pass it along.
All right.
Think of the word pint and start it with a B. What does that mean?
Pint? He said, just in case it's a bad word, don't say it. I thought I was being stupid. I know all the bad words.
And then I didn't know you could
what
make...
You, George Carlin?
Yeah.
What's it mean, Fred?
I don't know.
And I didn't know that other word that is for a female's bad, a really bad word. You could make it a
verb?
Make it a verb.
Yeah. I'm going to start using that for now.
All right, Gary, let's take a break.
Boy, the
Pages we'll
right defense
back.
Really got...
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The Super League Championship of the History Books. The Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup Championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
And now,
a blog reading from Dan Tugender.
Tugender.
August 13th, 2008. Hubba Bubba. Safety slash wide receiver Ray Ventrone came up with the play of the day on a diving catch over the middle on a pass from Matt Castle. Despite being sandwiched by linebacker Jerron Mayo and safety Brandon Merriweather. Yes, folks, there was mayo in the sandwich. Bada bing!
All right.
Was that you?
Hey,
oh, that was me.
This tool. It is Thursday,
the other nitwit.
And it is time for our picks.
Across the world, you heard.
We go across the league every Thursday to pick out who the winners will be. And, Paul, before we do this week, why don't you recap last week?
Yeah, pick a winner. Pretty consistent week for everybody across the board. Not consistently strong, but let's see. Andy, Eric, and Fred all went 8-6. I went 6-8, and Mike went 5-9.
Wow.
That was just picking the winners, no spreads. The spreads, Eric, 9-5.
Ooh.
Mike, me, and Fred all went 8-6, and Andy went 6-8. So
Fred, Mike, and I?
Shut up.
I thought that was one of your pet peeves.
Eric.
You're a pet,
pet peeve. Grammar?
Yeah, you just said it like an hour ago.
Jeez, I'm an editor. What do
he said his pet peeve is when guys use words in the wrong way.
Right.
Okay, how about using wrong pronouns and all that other crap? That's okay.
Shut up.
You shut up.
No, that's called Everett.
No, you shut up.
Sorry, let me laugh like again that. So you can call me drunk.
That's a good one.
Anyway, the season series.
That one's left a mark.
He's so up. In denial. That's great.
The season series still has Fred well out in front, 60-28 overall. Those are the overall ones. Let's see. Andy, 55-33.
Woohoo!
Eric, 54-34. I'm 51-37. And Mike is 47-41.
Gary, which can you save that I'm 51 line from Paul?
I'm losing to Flip, aren't I?
With the spread, Fred, 55-30-3.
Do it.
I am next at 48-37-3. Eric, 45-40-3.
Where's Andy?
Mike, 40-45-3.
Where's Andy?
Andy, 39-46-3.
I just try to pick winners. I don't worry about the points.
But that's 39.
So you are 16 games behind Fred Kirsch.
Yeah, but that's 39-40. That's about what those guys on the paper do.
Right.
You know, I don't know how they get paid.
Fred, 55.
Fred getting pompous now.
But he has no stone.
I've said that, you know,
You should do like the caller said for the team. You should go in a room and check to see if you still have stones because you should put money on this.
The fact I'm thrilled
illegal,
I'm 11 games over
Andy.
My mind.
But you know, you do a lot of things that are illegal.
Weren't you ordered to get in touch with your testicles again, Andy, this week?
I won't get fired from my job if I get a speeding ticket.
Yeah, don't get fired. Good call.
Good call.
We need you.
You want to get started?
All right, so let's get started. Should I just say which one I want to do first?
Go ahead, Fred.
All right, let's do San Diego at Buffalo.
It's a pick'em game, Andy.
San Diego at
Straight
Buffalo.
Straight up.
I'm sure you all saw I like to inject news in these because I don't know how to pick the games. The McCargo trade was voided by the NFL, failed his physical. So he's not a Colt. He's back in Buffalo area. I will take the San Diego Chargers. Where's the game?
Buffalo.
Oh.
If it's
I'll take
below
the San Diego
50,
Chargers.
Tomlinson's going to sit.
Tomlinson's irrelevant. Just keep throwing deep. It'll work for you. It worked last week. It'll work again.
Depends on who you're playing, but I think Buffalo is a lock in this one. I really do. I think San Diego's a little too schizophrenic for me. We see one good game. We see one bad game. We just saw good ones, so now we'll see another bad one.
Who's the quarterback for the Bills?
Trent Edwards says he's as close to 100% as you could be.
Well, that's good for them, but not good enough. I think the Chargers are going to win this one.
Chargers? Yeah, I agree with Mike. I'm going to take Buffalo because until I see San Diego put a couple together, I'm not going to assume they're going to do it. And they go on the road all the way across the country, I think they lose.
Well, I'm going to go with the Chargers in this game. I think they do put two together in this game. So that's what I think.
Great.
Good, great, grand.
I'm going to split it. Can I take the Chargers?
New Orleans at Carolina.
You could,
New Orleans
if you wanted to.
At Carolina.
Do that just to be funny, right? Chargers one way, Bills the other.
Guaranteed to win.
Can we get the numbers on that
number
next
that
game
one.
There?
What's the game?
New Orleans
at Carolina.
Carolina by three.
New Orleans at Carolina.
these are
Carolina just got
these
throttled
are not easy picks.
This past week.
But I think Carolina has been your San Diego Chargers for like 8 decades now.
Oh, I agree with that.
I never get a feel for them. Whenever I think they're good, they stink. And then when I start to say they stink, they win some games.
Yep.
I'm taking the Saints on the road.
Reggie Bush did not practice with a knee. Sean Ellis did not practice. On the Panthers side, nobody really huge. Mosheen Muhammad Limited practice.
I'm going to ride the Delhomme bandwagon, Delhomme, Panthers, Delhomme, all the way.
Wow, Mike, 0 for 2 already. I'm going to go with New Orleans in this game.
Deuce McAllister will lead the Saints to victory.
Yeah, again, I'm with Mike. I think Carolina just runs it right down a very bad defensive throat in the Panthers.
New Orleans
wins.
Paul 0 for 2 now.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Carolina as well.
Yeah, so you know now you're wrong because Fred gets everything right.
That's a good point, Mike.
He's right, you know. Nah, Fred's always right. Half and a half in. Sooner or later, we just say
35-33 speaks for itself.
Minnesota at Chicago. Minnesota at Chicago.
Chicago by 3, young Andy.
Yeah, the Vikings not exactly reborn thanks to the Gus Frerot era. And Adrian Peterson has struggled a little bit. Last week it took him, he was like halfway through the game before he sort of broke out a little bit. It was like two straight weeks where he'd been slowed. I think just it's hard to be so one-dimensional as they are without a quarterback. So I will take the Bears. And Kyle Orton impressed me a little bit last week. Yeah. He's better than he was two years ago when he played, and I thought
couldn't throw
a screen pass, never mind a legitimate NFL out, and he's better than I thought he was.
Yeah, he threw some bullets in that game on Sunday. Now, as long as they don't come down to the last play and the defense calls the complete wrong formation, they'll be okay, but I'm going to take the Bears anyway because I'm starting to fall into that Andy Hart, Jared Allen bandwagon there.
He stinks.
He sucks.
He's
absolutely
forced that safety
abysmal.
Last week?
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Guy running out of bounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Florio said Orlovsky thought he was playing in Canada, had an extra 10 yards there.
Oh, I think he still would have been out.
Jesus.
Yeah,
Jared Allen is
the
most.
I think he went behind the goalpost.
He was in the tunnel, I think.
Although, to be fair, I compared him to Mike Vrabel, and they both have disappeared this season.
I like the Bears by at least 10 points in this game.
Yeah, my only worry,
I'm
taking Chicago as well, but my fear is that losing the game like that, sometimes those have a lingering effect. And
I was in the bathroom listening to, this is a huge win for the Chicago Bears. You can't imagine what this, and then I hear Mike go, oh my God, they got out of the field and they lose.
I can't believe, I still can't believe I saw what I saw, between the squib kick.
You believe what you just saw?
Can't believe it. Still can't believe I saw that, but I like the Bears, Freddie.
I like the Bears as well, but I was thinking the same thing you were, Paul. How will they bounce back from that game?
Well,
I think they do.
You know,
I think
they
were on
your head between your legs and pout about
it. If they were on the road, I might have picked Minnesota, but I think being in Chicago will help them. So
and that's a couple of games they've kicked away too. Yeah.
When Fred said put your head between your legs and pout, I was thinking like Kevin Garnett in the sideline,
down 20.
On the road.
Okay. Next game is Pittsburgh Steelers at Cincinnati Bengals. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
Bengals are getting 9.5.
Ooh.
Wow.
Bengals are not a good football team. Who's their quarterback again?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Smart kid.
Is that it? Did they pull the plug on
Palmer? Palmer's not playing this week, I don't believe. Okay. I don't think they've totally pulled the season plug, but the most disappointing aspect of this game to me is Willie Parker gets banged up again. So had Rashard Mendenhall not been lost for the season, he would have had an extended stretch here to show all you people how good he was.
He hasn't played, right?
Boy, his thumb is up.
Excuse me?
In case you weren't listening.
Were we boring you that much, Gary?
I'll take Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like Troy Polamalu calling out the league for wussifying the league.
Yeah, I thought he was a little over the top there.
That's how you got to be sometimes
when
to make a point.
When you're defending Jack Tatum, I'm sorry. You're a little over the top.
I was with him with Butkus, Ronnie
Lott. You had me at Ronnie Lott. You had me at Butkus. But you go
Jack Tatum.
Throw in the guy from
the
Cardinals.
That's why the rules are there, because of guys like Jack Tatum. That's why you have what you have now.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh outright. Obviously, they're a better football team. But I'm going to go for a little bit of a gamble here with the Bengals with the points. I just don't like what Pittsburgh's doing offensively. I think it'll be a closer game.
Where's the game, Paul?
Cincinnati.
Roethlisberger will have 3 touchdowns in his first 11 attempts.
I think I'll go with Mike on this one. I'll take Pittsburgh to win, Cincy to cover.
Can never just say the Steelers are good and Roethlisberger's are good.
I like Pittsburgh all the way here. If Palmer's not playing, then I'll lay the 9.5. Now
Palmer could play though. Third string.
He's not listed.
I was like,
I stunned him there for a second.
What's his face there? Parker hasn't played, right?
No.
He just got hurt in practice
re-aggravated.
Yeah, I still like Pittsburgh. I don't think it matters who's running the football. I think they're going to be able to exert their will on Cincinnati either way.
Yeah, I go with Pittsburgh both ways as well. Next game, Tennessee at Kansas City.
Chiefs are at Arrowhead getting 8 at home, Andy. 8.
I will take the Chiefs to lose. I will take the Tennessee Titans to continue their stretch. Was this the team, Paul, that I was right about?
They're going to start off like 8-0, you said.
I said if they can win some game, yes, that they were going to.
Absolutely. This is the team that
me.
You said it.
Anyway,
if they beat Jacksonville in the opener, they're going to start whatever many and all.
Might not have predicted the change of quarterback, the drunk, the psychosis, everything. But
yeah. Don't let the facts get in the way.
Their defense is great. The Chiefs stink. Tony Gonzalez is one of the two weapons they have, and he's sulking because he didn't get traded because Carl Peterson, you know, tried to be Mr. Cool Guy. Okay, you agreed to my terms. I changed my terms. Chiefs stink.
So the Titans to cover.
Yes.
So what you're saying is you want the Titans. I'll take the Titans both ways as well.
I also won't be stunned if they lose.
I was going to go with an upset special because of what Kansas City did to Denver at home. But, lightning doesn't always strike twice.
Right, yeah. But I still think this is the Titans are 5-0 and they're great. Ooh, yeah, they're winning games.
This
and the Chiefs stink
lose,
and they have a youth movement. Well, in this NFL this year, Chiefs at home, anything can happen.
I don't have the balls to go with the Chiefs, so I'll take the Titans both ways.
Yeah. Chiefs,
you agree that I don't have
the
balls?
What was the spread?
8.
Yeah. Go with the Titans both ways.
Yeah, I don't think there's much of an upset chance, but 8 points is a lot for a team like Tennessee that doesn't score a lot. So I'm concerned about that, but I'll roll the dice.
They may only score 9.
But yeah, I mean, that could happen. This will be a long day for Kansas City's offense regardless because that Tennessee defense is nasty.
And the Hart Foundation, Larry Johnson.
So I'll take Tennessee to cover, Fred.
Yeah, I'll split it. I'll say Titans win, but they do not cover.
He's just openly mocking us now. He's just saying, I don't mind being on an island. I'm just going to extend my lead on you guys every week.
And he will.
Yeah.
We stink.
Baltimore at Miami.
Speak for yourself.
Baltimore at
I
Miami.
Stink.
Dolphins at home, Andy, favored by 3
over Baltimore.
Over Stan Harbaugh's team.
The Fighting Flaccos. Okay. Interesting. As we talked about earlier, this is a blah game that got injected a little venom on both sides with Harbaugh's comments and back and forth.
What did Florio say? Put a little interest in a game between 2-2 and 3 teams.
Right. And I like that. I'm good with that. I will take the Miami Dolphins to win because I have no other reason than run that Wildcat offense, baby. Run it.
Dolphins are scoring some points lately. I thought they should have won last week's game. They gave it away in the end. You know, those things kind of happen. What are you going to do? Still mediocre football team, so you kind of expect that. But Baltimore's looked terrible. Sorry.
They laid a major egg against Indy last week. But mm-hmm. I think they come out and give it to the Dolphins. I'm going to go with Baltimore.
Yeah, I love Miami here, but my same concern with the Chicago game that they allow that loss because Mike's right. They had no business losing that game. Not Mike Wright. Mike's right. So I'll take Miami to bounce back, but I'm a little concerned about the layover of such a bad loss.
Thankfully,
last
John Harbaugh gave them
Stan
something
Harbaugh
to fight for.
Yeah, this is a big game for Baltimore. I think they come out, you know, really with a chip on their shoulder, and I'm going to go with Baltimore to win the game. But it'll be interesting to see if, you know, because you guys still don't think that Baltimore has a good defense anymore. I think they're still pretty good.
I think they're okay. I don't think they're as
defense.
Good as their resume or their reputation.
Their reputation's very good.
In terms of where the NFL is this year, I think they're pretty good defense. And so I'd like to see what they're going to do against this Miami team. I think this is a good test to see if this Miami offense is for real. So I'm going to go with Baltimore to win. All right. Next, San Francisco at
suddenly the yardstick.
San Francisco at the Giants.
San Francisco at the Giants with a juggernaut.
Are they playing at
Pac-Bell? How do you spell juggernaut, Mike?
Giants.
Giving 10.5.
Fred gives me a look.
I think the Giants bounce back and blow the 49ers out of the water. As my friend whose dad works for the 49ers emailed me last week, Patriots had their way with the Niners and showed why J.T. O'Sullivan's been a career third-string quarterback. That happens again against the New York Giants in the pass rush.
Yeah, the pass rush is going to be too much for them. I think the Giants can win and cover. Big bounce-back game for them after that embarrassment in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. True juggernauts never lie down for long.
Yeah.
Just one the juggernaut week. Part of that, but I do like the Giants in this game, especially coming off that Monday night loss.
Yeah, you guys actually just convinced me because I was going to split this one. I actually wrote San Francisco in, but I changed it. I think J.T. O'Sullivan's going to have a long day. I'm going to take the Giants
to
cover.
Giants both ways. All right, got to pick it up a little bit. Still Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Plenty
Dallas.
Of time, Fred.
Oh.
Plenty of time. It's not even 10 of yet.
Dallas at St. Louis. And Romo says
Jim
he might play.
Rams 1-0.
Romo says he might play.
Getting 7. I'm sorry.
Why don't the Cowboys list Romo on the injuries? I don't understand this.
That NFL website's not really
NFL.com stinks.
It's your website that's the problem.
Yeah.
On game day, throughout the week, it stinks.
I'm sure he's on the injury report.
I will take the Cowboys to win because they're the more talented team. But I'm going to take the points because they're a sinking ship. They got a lot of issues. And I think if Romo plays, they're going to have a lot of issues because he's a guy that is prone at times to be a little lack accuracy, and he's going to be learning how to throw anew with the issue. So I think that could be a problem for them. They might be better off with Brad Johnson handing the ball to Barber and just being conservative and winning the game. But for that reason, I'll take the points.
How many points?
Nine.
Seven.
Nine. Seven. I liked nine.
Well, but nine does not help my argument. No, I like the Cowboys, just like Andy said, to win outright, and I'll take the Rams with the points. I think it'll be a back-and-forth, kind of a shootout game, I think it could be. That's what this could evolve into.
I'm not falling for it. I think the Cowboys will come back and win this game by 14.
Yeah, I think they blow them out, too. I think Andy makes a good point with Brad Johnson. They might be better off right now.
Especially in this game.
Kind of circling the wagon.
You don't need the plays. You're playing a team that's vastly inferior to you.
You might be better off just circling the wagons, being conservative, running the football, getting back to basics, and just winning a football game without worrying about all the star power. Yeah. But I think they win this game easily.
Me too.
Dallas always worries. Dallas all the way here for me.
All right, now we move to the 4 o'clock games. Detroit at Houston.
Texans by 9, Andy.
Wow. I'll take the Texans to win.
Orlovsky now the quarterback for good because Kitten is on IR.
And although he says he really wasn't hurt and they just want to make a change. How that works out for you, Detroit. Keep making those good moves. I'll take Detroit with the points. Just, you know, they've hung around at times in different games, and sooner or later they're going to beat somebody, and if they don't, they're going to stay close enough.
Yeah, I'm with Danny on this one, too. Houston's a better team, but not a great team. So we'll take the – who are they, the Texans? Yes. What's their mascot again? Okay, Texans outright, Lions with the points.
I'll take Houston to win. Paul, but
Astros?
I think Detroit will put up enough
Rockets?
Fight. I'll take them with the points.
Yeah, I think Detroit absolutely lays down and dies this week, and the Texans are going to crush them. I don't see Detroit going on the road. They had a game they should have won last week, but without question, they got screwed with a terrible pass interference call. Yet again, the officials deciding the outcome of a game. Yeah. They roll over and die, and Houston rolls over the Lions.
All right. Well, I say Houston wins, but Detroit stays within 9. Mm-hmm. All right. Indianapolis at Green Bay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Packers by 1.5.
Indy at Green Bay. I will say the Indianapolis Colts roll.
Yeah.
Packers defense not quite as good as I thought it was. Colts offense getting healthy, making plays. The subterfuge that was the second knee surgery that they hid. He's getting healthy. They're making plays. And this is the one where people go, ooh, the Colts are back. They beat the Packers in Lambeau. Ooh, they're back.
The spread is 1.5 in this game. There's a chance that I may have recorded it wrong. For some reason, I remember seeing Indy on the left side. I wrote -1.5 for Green Bay, but I'll check that upstairs.
I think Indy should be favored.
Either way,
I don't think is going to really
Right. Either way, I think Indy's going to win easily. I think Rodgers is coming back down to earth a little bit here and starting to fall back into what you would expect from a first-year quarterback.
Word.
Mm-hmm. Indianapolis, they look good now. We'll take the Colts both ways.
Both ways, Paul.
Yeah, sure. I like the Colts, too. I think they may have finally gotten a little of their confidence back last week. They more resembled the Colts. I don't like San Diego. I want to see them do it a couple of weeks in a row before I anoint them the front runner in the AFC, but I like the Colts.
Me, too. Colts both ways. All right, Jets at Oakland.
Fred's in a hurry. Let's go.
Jets at Oakland.
Oakland is getting 3 at home. I'm sorry. Jets favored by 3.
I will take the Jets because Oakland stinks. Their head coach stinks. Everybody stinks. And the rumor now, did you see? A little rumbling on Florio that the possibility that Madden could be in the front office in Oakland.
Oh, my dear Lord.
My God. How about Madden not doing the game this week?
Yeah, first time in a while.
460-some-odd games.
Maybe that's fueling some of the rumors.
Well, that is. And they're having this, like, ceremony, although Tim Brown has also said, I'd like to work there. He's, like, openly courting.
I think Madden should coach.
That's amazing
again.
To me. I mean, the guy rides around in a bus, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how hard is it to do that? Oh, I don't want to cross the country 3 times. What do you do?
There must be something other than that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And when he can take your center,
they're gonna
just blow him.
This could be like Clemens.
You put that with the lay in the pipe.
Be like your boy.
Yeah, exactly.
Of all the dramatic things, John Madden is in Al Davis's box.
We're gonna lay more pipe.
Yeah.
I'm distracted. I take the Jets both ways. Favre's been throwing some bombs lately. Brett the Jet looking sharp. Jets are a playoff team. New York, New York Super Bowl. Jets versus Giants.
Oh, my goodness.
Steve Serby's right in the column as we speak.
Jeez.
Jets both ways, sorry.
In spite of Brett Favre, the Jets will beat the Raiders here.
In spite of. He threw six touchdowns 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a fluke.
It was a fluke.
I like the Jets in this game.
Vinny, it was a fluke.
For Andy's reason, I think Oakland stinks.
Yeah. What? Why are you looking at me for?
I guess I got to go with the Jets in this game. I was thinking of picking the Raiders as an upset special, but
Sean Crable,
I can't go there.
Just can't.
You're getting soft.
Two teams I really hate.
Sean Crable. Tom Cable. Sean Crable.
Right now I hate the Jets more than Oakland.
Mike Vrabel.
Cleveland at Washington. Cleveland at Washington.
The Fredskins given 7 at home. I will take a bad loss to the Rams.
I will take the Fredskins at home to bounce back. Because Fred tells me they're a good team, and Jim Zorn is a good coach, despite his hip hip hooray gay post-game celebrations that his players openly mock on ESPN.
And then they got beat.
And then they got beat. That's true. Maybe if they had spent some time actually prepping for the game, they wouldn't have looked like
asses. Well, Jim Zorn was doing a game plan instead of auditioning for Kenny Mayne's main event, they might have won the game. But since ESPN will not be in the house this week, I'll take the Fredskins to bounce back.
Yeah.
Both ways?
Both ways.
I mean, the Browns can't play the Giants every week. They're not going to have a cupcake on every week.
That's funny.
Exactly.
7.
7.
See who's laughing in February.
Yeah, the Fredskins will bounce back, and the Browns are coming off their emotional Monday night win. It's Redskins both ways. Yeah.
Cleveland stays within the 7 but loses. Next game is the Sunday night game.
It doesn't matter what I think. Why are you in such a rush?
Sorry about
that. One game left and there's 5 minutes left.
I got 1:57 on my clock.
Oh, it's wrong.
Five off.
That clock is wrong.
You're wrong.
That clock. This goes by the atomic.
I took Washington.
The atomic.
James, I know you like to record this stuff. I like Washington both ways.
What?
Sunday night game. Hurry up. We only got 5 minutes.
Seattle at Tampa.
Seattle at Tampa.
Tampa by 10.5.
Oh.
No Hasselbeck, right?
Seneca Wallace, I believe, will be the starter.
I'll take Tampa. Seneca Wallace. Stinks.
Seattle is favored?
No.
Tampa by 10.
By 10 and a half.
Okay.
And I will take I'll take them to cover, too. That's a lot of points that scares me, but not enough.
Those points scare me. I got to take Tampa outright, but Seattle's got to get within 10.5.
Yeah, this is a trap game.
It is.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Tampa to win, Seattle will cover, even with Wallace.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tampa to cover.
Okay.
Seattle's got no offense without Hasselbeck, and I don't think they have very good defense, so I'm going to take Tampa.
Okay, well, I'll go with Tampa to win, but not cover. All right, so that brings us to...
Amazingly, we made
Monday
it to
night.
The end.
Wow.
Monday night, and I want to remind people that, according to Jeff Ackerman of Qdoba, they will be raffling off tickets to the Monday night game Sunday night, up to Sunday night.
Sunday night, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock is when they'll announce who the winner is.
No purchase necessary.
Void where prohibited.
So just go, show up, fill out the form, and you're automatically entered.
It's the one at Patriot Place.
One at Patriot Place.
You have to be there or they'll call you?
I guess they'll call you.
I think you have to be there to get in it.
Right.
Well, you have to go to sign up, but at 8 o'clock they'll have your info and they'll just call you.
And while you're there, stop by Abe and Louie's, maybe the CBS scene. Grab
Abe and Louie's?
You mean Davio's?
Oh, I thought there was something in Louie's.
No, Louis
the bar.
Yeah, it's something Louis. Bar Louis.
Bar Louis.
Bar Louis.
I don't think that's open yet, though.
Oh.
Yeah, that was under heavy construction.
Gary says it is open.
It is open. I'm just trying to promote everything that
Patriots favored by 3.
Get some Pumas.
Patriots favored by 3.
Patriots are favored? Really? That surprises me.
This is a guy who thinks they were going to go 11-5. They're at home against a bad Broncos team. He thinks they shouldn't be favored.
That surprises me.
I will take the Denver Broncos to win on the road. I think this is a
I think
you're making a
dangerous
mistake.
Patriots.com.
Dangerous game for the Patriots because
Cecil B. DeMille's not going to be happy.
The inclination is to say, well, they're not going to give up big plays again, and you know it's too easy to say that the Broncos put up big plays and they just gave up big plays. Well, you know what? I think if they go to stop that, I think there's a chance that Selvin Young could run all over them as a big play running back with some speed, the kind of guy that's given them trouble at times over the years. And I just don't have any confidence in this offense to put enough points on the board, even against a bad defense. You know, I know Paul's projecting the big running game, but until I see a big anything from this team, I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos.
I'm going to have to disagree strongly. I think this is a good bounce-back game for New England. I think they'll take away the passing lanes.
Good,
Mike. Will be, yeah, I'm just following the company line here. This is what I do.
It is.
This Bronco offense has struggled a little bit in the past couple of games. It's not lighting up teams like it was in the first 2 or 3 weeks. They've come down to earth a little bit, and the defense is still bad. Switching to a 3-4 now, there's some adjustment. It's a good game for New England to win.
I like New England here to bounce back too, and I think they'll win by at least a touchdown.
Why not two?
I think the Patriots win the game. I think it'll be tight. I'm actually thinking it's going to land right on the number. I like a field goal win.
I was just going to say, you're reading my mind. Can we call a push?
Well, I always
like to
call
you a push.
If you guys pay attention to the show, you'll know that I always agree with Fred.
I thought Gary was not happy.
27-24, Freddie.
That's the score I said, too.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute.
This must be what it sounds like when
Doug's
crying.
In your head.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I think
plenty of room in there.
What Andy said, I think
but we can't
run,
call a push, right?
You get a push. You can't just call it.
You can call it whatever you want, but okay. It is what it is.
I like the Patriots, and I'm going to take the Patriots to cover, but I think it's going to land
I'll
right
do it that way, too. Me too.
Do it live.
All right.
His analysis is me too.
Me too.
I love you. Me
big
too.
Big day for Sammy Morris.
The man. That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for listening all week. Go to Qdoba. They're open now. Register and win your tickets for the Denver game Monday night. As far as us, we will see you next
what
Tuesday.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games. Games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower for my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.